This bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Yakuza. Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio. Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock. Listen, listen. This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
That's Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird. Boom.
All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black Jeep, holler.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Worms cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. That's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'll just start off the show by clearing my voice. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris. I'm by myself tonight. I got a... whole lot of stuff to talk to, Jesus. I'm exhausted. Let's start with that. I got a whole lot of stuff to talk about. I should have my guest on shortly, and that will be Greg Excellent. I went to CZW show this past Saturday. I'm going to, you know, get into that later on. The whole rock concert thing that happened on Monday, I'll get into that as well. A bunch of different little news and, you know, things to get into. Man, I didn't get the backlash I expected out of last week. Not that I did what I did for backlash or anything like that, but I wasn't really sure how it was going to be received. And I got to tell you, I got pretty much 100% positive feedback from last week, and a whole lot of listeners, a handful of new Facebook friends, the whole nine, good conversation out of guys I never talked to before. I got to thank all you guys for, you know, the support on that and everything, but... you know, I was just speaking off of, you know, from the heart and, you know, some stuff that was really getting them on my nerves. Well, you know, starting with the way that I just felt about a product, and then I got attacked, and then I found out some stuff and I had to let it out in the air. Might get into a little bit of that, you know, later on in the show. And, you know, a little bit of updates on that situation. But other than that, yeah, it's pretty much same old thing, you know, that me do weekly. And, definitely some good stuff went on at the CZW show this weekend. Weird venue. I'll definitely get into details about every, you know, match and, you know, top to bottom of the card. It was at a gym. I'm not really going to get deep into the card right now just because, it, you know, I'm waiting for my guests and whatnot. But it was at a gym in Philly, over there by the armory that Ring of Honor runs in and stuff. And just a small little area of the gym that they ran in. And, you know, the parking lot was a ShopRite parking lot, as well as many other stores and businesses and stuff like that. But, you know, pull up at a CZW show and be an eye shot of a ShopRite, probably the weirdest thing I've seen as far as you know, just atmosphere. And then, you know, you go into the gym and, you know, it's kind of like in a back area of the gym. And they only had enough room for three sides of the ring to be occupied by fans and the fourth one more or less being, you know, the entrance to the ring. So, you know, seating got shuffled around a bunch. In the front row always, but usually I'm right in the middle, which is awesome. And got my new camera, you know, I was really excited to take pictures and this and that. Wow. So, to my dismay, I found out that I'm shuffled around into the ring post, pretty much. So I really couldn't, you know, I mean, I did okay. Don't get me wrong, I did all right for, I mean, what it was. The camera makes me look good. That's fucking basic fact of that. But yeah, it was very, very difficult to get pictures and stuff like that. And, you know, best of the best will be different. You know, they have four sides of the ring occupied there. So that'll be good. I can't wait for that one. And that would be a lot of good stuff. Best of the best is a stacked lineup. And very, very much looking forward to that. It is at the Voorhees, New Jersey venue that I had spoke about in the, on the past show. You know, wasn't it, listen, I mean, to me, the ECW, CZW, New Alhambra, Viking Hall, whatever you want to call it, arena, was just a comfortable place to be. It became a very comfortable place to be, you know, hang out, have a couple of beers, whatever is the case, and it was just comfortable. None of these venues are going to be that, and I understand that, but it just happened to be, you know, just, it was a very family-oriented building, and it was just weird. You know? And of course, I'm going to get used to different things as they go. And obviously, the Voorhees venue is better than this Philly venue just because, just space-wise. I mean, to run in that amount of space had to be really hard on the workers, especially, you know, running an aerial assault match with the guardrails that were maybe 2 feet from the ring tops. So, you know, a lot of difficult stuff to deal with. And, yeah, it was, but they put on a hell of a show, and, you know, next month, Voorhees, stacked lineup, best of the best, not much more to say. I mean, I'll definitely read off the lineup for best of the best later on, and, you know, we'll go down that, and, see what goes on there, but yeah, I mean, we'll make of it, what we can here tonight. One thing I'm happy to say is, as a 49er fan, Randy Moss signed with the 49ers, coming out of retirement, signed with the 49ers. Huge Niner fan, as everybody who listens to the show knows, because I beat people to death throughout this football season. But Randy Moss, I think, could be a really good weapon. They actually used Jim Harbaugh to work him out in practice. So, I mean, he wasn't going to pull no ego shit with the coach being the guy throwing the ball. It's funny because they actually teased the public and said, former Colts Pro Bowl quarterback to try out or to practice with the Niners. And everyone's like, oh, it's just Peyton. Well, Jim Harbaugh was also a Colts Pro Bowl quarterback. So he kind of threw a little swerve on that. And he was practicing. He was going to be the practicing quarterback to throw balls to Randy Moss. And he said he was just completely just blown away by Randy. It was the most impressive practice he's ever seen out of a guy. So I'm looking forward to this guy getting the resurgence of his career. They tried to do some stuff with Braylon Edwards last year, being like a, you know, big name all-star coming in and then being, I don't even want to say key wide receiver, but definitely like a big target and a distraction at times and really open up the field. And man, he really did not much of anything, and they were still able to do tremendous amounts of things. What a guy, Alex Smith, that everybody counted out of the league, you know, for so many years, including myself and every other 49er fan. So, yeah, I mean, a weapon like Randy Moss given to this rebirth of Alex Smith with Jim Harbaugh running the show, I'm really looking forward to it. That was a big accusation. It was a big pickup on the offseason, and I'm all for it. But at this time, I do believe I have my guest on hold, so just welcome to the show at this time, Greg Excellent.
What's up, man? Sorry I'm a little late. I was doing laundry.
Nah, no problem. Yeah, so figure we wanted to, I mean, you had a huge, huge showing this past weekend, but beyond that, many of big matches you've had throughout your career, you've been around for quite some time, we wanted to bring you on and, you know, chat about your career and whatnot.
I'm down.
Cool. how'd you get started in wrestling?
A little bit auspiciously and whatnot. I actually started with a little backyard wrestling thing, you know, the hubbub, the fad as it was in the 90s. it was real popular on 2020 and Dateline. Anywho. We kind of did that at my house, and we did it for a couple of years. Nothing violent or quote-unquote ultra-violent, if you will, but spent a considerable amount of money in my backyard wrestling and whatnot, and it was just a group of friends, and we would, you know, my stepfather at the time was a licensed contractor, and with much begging and pleading of my mother, we spent the money to have him build a wrestling ring, you know, a very generic version of a wrestling ring out of wood and foam padding and whatnot, but started with that and did that for a while, did it for about, I guess, 2 years and whatnot, and then we would just have, like, friends and whatnot come over, you know, friends of wrestlers, whatnot, like, from your backyard every Saturday, and one Saturday, the Maryland State Athletic Commission showed up at my house with, like, 18 squad cars and two canines in it, like, we're running some kind of meth lab, and they shut us down, and we were brought up on a bunch of legal charges. It was like upwards, I think it was 7 people were charged ultimately, 5 adults and 2 juveniles, and it was like $70,000 in fines between all of us.
Wow.
My stepfather, the charges were all business code violation. The executive director of the Maryland State Athletic Commission, who's still the executive director today, Pat Pinella, stood in my kitchen at the time and told us that it was all about our safety and this, that, and the other. And then when everything came out, it was all business code violation, which was like promoting wrestling without a license and performing the acts of professional wrestling without a license and yada, yada, because in the state of Maryland, you have to have, you know, a license to do both. So we spent some time and went to court, and we were found, actually my stepfather, I was a juvenile at the time. It was like 10 days before my 18th birthday. So we went to court and, in front of a jury of our peers, over 2 days of deliberation, we were found not guilty of all charges, and it was kind of that was the sign that we're like, okay, why don't we find a way to do this legally, and that people aren't trying to raid our home for it. We went and, you know, seek out training and whatnot, and trained with Quinn Nash for about a year and a half, and at the same time, looked into getting a business loan and starting what we had in our backyard as a professional organization. And through some time, we did that. That's how I kind of broke in, you know, trained and, you know, started learning promotion.
Okay. So now is that groundbreaking wrestling?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay. So that's how that got started. That's cool. You know, going into that, I mean, you're running a backyard vet and all of that stuff, but in the same token, what did you did you have like a mind for the business or some kind of know-how to actually put all of that together at the time, or, you know, what was the learning process like?
As far as booking and putting stuff together is, I remember somebody saying that, 95 guys think they can and only 5 really know how to. I don't know if it's like that I know how to and this guy doesn't. It's just, I don't know. I guess I'm a kind of cut and dry, like, you know, this is a good guy, this is the bad guy, this kind of makes sense, this is kind of cool. I mean, everybody has their own vision as far as what wrestling is in their world. Like, for me, as far as how, I run things and do things with my promotion is that, you know, I just want to have some fun, man. You know, the world is such a shitty place for every day. And, you know, real life is the shit. It's just horrible. Reality is horrible for most people. We wake up, we do a job we don't like, and we pay bills, and we pay too much taxes, and gas is $4 a gallon and whatnot. You know, if we can find a way to escape reality just for a little while. And that's what wrestling in general is for me, but especially, you know, with how I book things and promote things with what I do.
All right. To go back a little further, too, what were some of the, you know, your original, I don't know, like favorite wrestlers and that type of thing? Like as a kid, you know, growing up, who were some of your inspirations and, you know, guys that you really looked up to as a kid?
Well, I'd be remiss if, you know, like when I first started watching wrestling with my grandfather, and my grandfather was a Ric Flair mark for a long time, and it was one of those things, like he would show me Ric Flair, like he had a guy he worked with at a stone quarry who would give him VHS tapes of old NWA stuff and stuff from Florida and stuff around, you know, Midwest and whatnot. He'd bring it home, like it was like gold.
Right.
He went at the VCR and was like, oh my God, who are these? These are Road Warriors. They're cool. I was a big Dusty Rhodes fan. Dusty Rhodes just charismatic. You know, as I was growing up, I was growing to this fat kid body, and I was watching this fat guy wrestler, and it was just too good to be true. But, you know, Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, I mean, Hulk Hogan's the guy who probably works the crowd best and, you know, better than anybody at that time. Just, you know, kinetic and whatnot. Then, you know, as I got older, you know, the Shawn Michaels, the Kurt Angles and stuff like that.
Okay. So how long was it after, you know, you began the your own federation that you started branching out into, you know, getting into other feds and stuff like that?
I guess about a year and a half. I wrestled for, you know, exclusively for GVW. Not by my own joy, as nobody else wanted me. Nobody else was seeking me out, but looking for me. But, actually started wrestling for a promotion in Maryland at the time, and which was awkward because when, I guess, my name came across the desk of Pat Pinella, he decided he was going to show up at a show, which is very unlikely. Very, very not normal, not the standard as far as how business went in Maryland. So, it's about a year, year and a half, and then, you know, we're wrestling for the promotion in Maryland, EWA, and then he just branched out from little promotion to little promotion until I guess I met a few people and I worked a few MBA shows and whatnot. And I guess that's when the original boss, John Zandig, saw me, and the rest is history.
Getting into CZW, I usually ask people this, but you know, CZW had a reputation of being all light tubes and hardcore, and obviously, you know, watching the product, you know that there's a lot more to it than that, even from the start. But did you have any, you know, fears or worries about going into a Fed that was known for that type of stuff, or?
I've been a fan of the organization for quite some time. I had all the best of the best up until that point. I had like 1, 2, and I guess 3. On with BHS, and I've watched them and stuff like that. And of course, you see, well, what the company was known for, and being combat zone wrestling, and, you know, the barbed wire, the glass, like you said yourself. Not so much fear as it was just a concern that, like, I wonder what I'm going to say if they ask me to do this stuff.
Right.
Not so much being afraid of doing it, but like, am I going to really have the balls to go out here and do this or that? Yeah, because it's an animal of its own. Deathmatch wrestling is an animal of its own that, you know, a lot of people, you know, will look at it a certain way but never really understand. You know, it takes a special breed of human being to go out there and do that stuff.
Yeah, for sure. How did some of the guys in the back, you know, treat you when you first got into CZW? Because I know there's, you know, there's some guys who have somewhat of a reputation of being hard asses and this and that, and, you know, a couple other people have said, you know, once you get in and everything's fine, it's a family, but you kind of get bumped around, you know, when you first get in there. How did it go entering CZW?
I've never really had a problem. I haven't even just, you know, starting out and whatnot. The business of it is that you kind of just stick to yourself and you keep your mouth shut until you kind of earn the stripes to be able to open your mouth and say a few things here and there. That's just how I was taught, you know, when I started wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I really didn't have any any problems, any issues, whatnot. I guess on my first show, I worked DJ. That was wonderful. And I guess it was like, it was Hero at the time who was like, hey, I want to give you a piece of advice. And he said, we wrestled like third. And then he was in the main. And I was like, okay, interracial. I go to him. I was like, hey, you want to give me that piece of advice? He's like, no, I'm going to go out and sell gimmicks. I'm like, oh, okay. It's Chris Hero. I'll listen to him. And he goes out and sells gimmicks. He comes back from interracial, and he's like, oh, yeah, give me a little bit. I waited till like 12:30 after Maine was over, after he changed his clothes. I'm like, at this point, I'm like, I don't give a shit what he says. And all he had for me at the time was, maybe you ought to think about wearing a hat to the ring. Okay, man, thanks. I appreciate that. That was a wonderful knowledge nugget. And as you can see, that he's where he is, and he's where I am, where I am. Maybe he should have worn the hat a lot sooner. But, you know, not a problem in the world. In all fairness, I rarely, I don't have any stories of walking into a locker room and going, oh, this guy's a douche. You know, if I don't like somebody, I just don't hang around them.
Right.
Like, I'm the most easygoing human being. Wrestling is like high school. It really is. Like, I said, how I treat it. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I am who I am, and all we're doing is putting on weird underwear and going out and playing with each other. It is semi-homoerotic.
Yeah. Now, one of the matches that, you know, I thought actually wasn't even really so much of a match, but one moment that definitely stood out, you know, with you was the Brain Damage Danny match and the lead into that. The crowd was going bananas because they were pretty much expecting something, and you were, you know, the big swerve where everyone was like, what is this? And, I mean, it was played up so well and, you know, to the point where, you know, Damage actually starts coming out through the crowd. The crowd goes crazy, and you jump up like you just got over. And how did that whole situation come about?
It was an idea pitched, and I was like, okay, whatever. And, you know, as far as things go, you know, I'm still green as grass. I really don't know too. I mean, I've been wrestling probably 3 years, but, you know, still not exposed and not too bright is how things go. You know, you learn a lot quickly, but you kind of learn a lot late.
Right.
And so they had this idea, and then I remember Toby Klein was like, oh, so what's the idea? And I'm like, oh, well, so I'm going to go out here and do this thing with Danny, and then Brain Damage is going to come through the crowd, and then I'm going to take a headbutt. And he looked, I said headbutt, and his eyes widened, and he goes, you better watch out, kid. And I was like, ah, shit. So
yeah.
He might be like three more times, he's like, that headbutt's going to hurt. Like, just trying to psych me out, like, scare the shit out of me, I guess. I mean, Toby's a good guy. And, it was just go out there and do the stupid, goofy character and hopefully they're not going to remember a whole lot of what I'm going to do in my 2 minutes, but they're going to remember what Danny and Brain Damage go out and kill themselves with. So,
right. But it was an excellent
fun to play my part and let them go out there and the fans be excited for it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like I said, it was a definitely great build to the match. It really added to, you know, what was a great, just they killed each other out there, but it really put the fans in suspense leading in instead of just ring the bell, let's go, and I thought it worked really well.
Right, I like to be that little seasoning of disappointment before you get to the good meal. I was going to explain it. I'm like, oh, you know, I come out there, I was like, oh, it's Greg and Danny? Who gives a shit? an Irish whip reversal away from a match they really want to see.
Yeah. Well, I take it for what it is, but I liked it. later in 08, you ended up teaming up with Beef Wellington for Two Girls, One Cup.
Yes, sir.
You guys had, you know, very similar, you know, comedy style and everything like that, so I'd imagine that had a lot to do with it. But, you know, how did that come about?
It just an idea that came about. Actually, in all fairness, I do believe it was Maven's idea. It was Beef was going to come back to the company, and Maven pitched the idea, like, we want to put him with Greg. And I'd never met Beef. I, like, no correspondence with him whatsoever. And my first meeting of him was I walked up to him and said, hey, I'm Greg. We have the same finish, so I guess we have heat now, huh? And he's like, we probably should. And that was about it. You know, we just two guys with very similar sense of humor and, you know, try to be the most goofy and off the wall You know, I've always found, like, you got to be something different for just to garner some kind of acknowledgement. That's just life. But, you know, you're just a little bit goofy and a little bit, you know, especially in CZW, where everyone's a badass, everyone's a hard ass. You know, everybody's fucking tough. And you have to with a name like Combat Zone Wrestling. But for you know, this fat guy and this guy with the shocker symbol on his jersey, you know, it's just something different. So it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I can't say enough about that.
What was your favorite moment or match, you know, from that run with the two girls, one cup gimmick?
I would, you know, probably say, it would be two moments. When we won the tag titles, we got to dress up as Blackout. That was insanely fun. It was, the match being itself, I'm just saying the entrance, acting like Ruckus and Sabian, or Black Jesus, he's now known the Black Jesus.
Right.
That was just insanely fun. And then our TLC match with Mirror Holes or Violence Connection just went together. And that was one of those moments where, like, I explained it, we were set up to fail, because originally it wasn't supposed to be Me Beef and Kylie. It was Me Beef and somebody else. It was going to be fill in the blank, and the fill in the blank was going to be a last minute ultraviolet star. Like, we pitched Wife Beater, and we thought it was Wife Beater. Then, like, 3 days before, it was like, no, Beater said no. Okay, what about John? And then John's like, maybe day before. Nah, not really feeling it. So it was like, okay, well, what do you want us to do? Like, well, we'll just put Kylie in there. Okay. So it was like, what are we going to do here? It was just like, you know, we all six made it work, and it was a lot of fun.
Wow. So you went from Wife Beater to Kylie.
Right? That's a few steps in one direction or the other of the totem pole, I guess.
Yeah, it's a lot of range. Well, I mean, speaking from the Miracle Ultra Violence Connection feud and everything you guys went in there, I had always said over the years that, and it's no disrespect to G's or anything like that, but I feel that you definitely had the best match at Best of the Best 8 with Brody.
Oh, thanks. That was a lot of fun. You know, that guy is just so incredibly talented and has continued to get more and more talented. I don't want to be that guy. Did I or did not read, like, this guy? Like, didn't he just get signed?
He just got signed.
How awesome is that?
Yeah, he definitely deserves it.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big guy, got a lot of size, and incredible amount of talent. I remember watching on the, I guess when we did that day-night doubleheader with Dragon Gate in November, when I wrestled Mia, he wrestled Pac, and that was the best match on the day show. Which was just effing phenomenal. But man, it was a lot of fun. It was one of those moments where, like, we didn't know what was expected of us. You know, I kind of knew the way story was that I was going to get beat up a lot. But all it was told was, like, oh, it was going to be a big rig battle. Or the wording was weird, where it was, like, you know, a truck stop hardcore match, or I don't know. And I was like, what the hell does that mean? I was like, is it going to be, like, is it barbed wire? Like, how is this supposed to work? And I knew later in the show, it's not, like, right behind us, was Gage and DJ.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, I don't want to step on anyone's toes. And all I remember was, like, well, am I going to piss somebody off? Because here's the thing about, like some wrestling locker rooms. Some wrestling locker rooms are like, okay, well, don't do too much. You'll steal from the main. And it's totally understandable. Whereas, like, when you were, like, when I was coming up in CZW, it was like, go out there and steal a fucking show and earn your spot and earn your keep here. I'm like, okay, well, those two ideas totally counteract one another. So I'm gonna just do what I'm told, I guess. I remember before I went out, somebody goes, well, go out there and fucking kill it. And I was like, all right, man, you know, and I looked at Bernie, I was like, let's go out there and just see what happens. And it worked, and it was really good. And, you know, I think it was the first time I bled.
Yeah.
And, we come back through, and DJ is, like, super pissed. And I'm like, oh, what's the problem, dude? And he's like, well, how the fuck am I supposed to follow that shit? And he walks by me, and I wasn't worried about him being pissed off because he was just being a douche. And I was more afraid of Nick Gage, who is probably certifiably insane anyway. And I was like, right. He's going to fuck me up. Oh, my God. What am I going to do? So I walked straight up Nick Gage, and I'm like, Nicky, I'm really sorry. He's like, for what? And I was like, well, I guess we went out there. Like, DJ's all pissed off. I guess we went out there and did too much. He goes, nah, man, the crowd fucking loved it. You fuck him. And I was like, all right. He's like, nah, man, you killed it. It was awesome. I was like, all right, cool. I don't have to be so fucking scared around you, I guess.
Right. Yeah, it definitely, it was, I mean, my first actually, you know, time where I saw you out there, and it wasn't just, you know, a big guy that could move doing a comedy gimmick and, you know, doing that type of thing. It was like, wow, this guy could take some fucking punishment. I mean, Brody, you know, did what Brody does, and, I mean, you were just right on track with him the entire way, and it shocked the shit out of me, so that was definitely an awakening moment.
No, that's good. That's good. I mean, like, and that's the thing. Like, you know, I always say, like, with me, like, I got tagged as this comedy guy, and this is the God's honest truth. Somebody's like, well, you're a comedy worker. I'm like, really? I don't know. Maybe I do funny stuff because there's not that much difference between who I am in, I guess, quote unquote, real life and who I am in a wrestling ring. There's really not that much difference. And, like, I don't consider myself, I guess, a comedy worker. I'm just going to go out there and be me and have fun. And, like I said, everybody's fucking tough. Well, what's the fun in that? If everybody is the same fucking gimmick, I'm just going to be myself, and however it pans out. So, I mean, I don't like, peg myself as a comedy guy, but I guess I do comedy spots, and that's where the nature comes from. But, like, I always, right. always like to go out there and always feel like I have to prove myself. I'm like, all right, let me go out here and do something a little crazy and show that I can do something a little bit crazier. Let me go out there and do a dive show. Hey, I'm a fat guy who can dive. Or, you know what I mean? It's just always like
right.
a complex with myself.
Yeah, I definitely prove that. Following that, a week later, you went into Tournament of Death. I mean, how did that come about? And what was your thoughts about going into that altogether?
Well... I would like to say I still probably have the either worst or second worst Tournament of Death match in TOD history, but nonetheless, that whole thing came to be where traveled Tournament of Death knowing that I am going to be a filler match, which I had done before. I wrestled not to name drop. But I did wrestle C.J. O'Doyle at Tournament of Death one year. Just saying, just throwing that out there. going there knowing I was going to wrestle McBride in non-tournament action just to kind of, you know, obviously give the deathmatch guys a break between, like, first and second round or second and finals or whatever.
Right.
So I get there, and I don't know whose flight got bumped or who missed this or whatnot, but there's been some cancellations apparently. So I'm walking up to say hello to everybody, and Zandig and Mike Burns are standing side by side. And I guess they're doing patchwork on the Tournament of Death card. And I walk up and go, oh, hi, John. Hi, Mike. And Mike Burns goes, okay, well, it's going to be Greg and McBride in barbed wire boards and bats for the first round. Greg up. I'm like, wait, hold on. It wasn't like I was asked. It was just like, okay, you're now in. I'm like, what the fuck just happened? What? Like, I just drove here like, knowing I was going to get booed anyway because people just want to see me wrestle in this environment. Now you gotta tell me that, OGD. So yeah, that was that. And, you know, I guess I'm gonna pull back the curtain just a little further anyway. Ryan was supposed to have a test, I guess, that week with the Maryland State Troopers. It was a Saturday, it was like on the Monday or Tuesday. So Ryan really couldn't take anything. Because he couldn't be marked up. He had to do his physical fitness, and he was doing the interview.
Nah.
So he couldn't be marked up or whatnot. So going into this knowing, okay, one, Ryan can't take anything. He can't bleed. And I have to win. So it was one of those, you know, it was all the makings of a perfect shitstorm.
Yeah.
So that was how it went, and it was just like one of those moments where like I wasn't pissed off. I wasn't mad. I was upset. I was upset with the fact of, like, okay, well, Ryan can't take anything. Like, this is gonna be fucking ridiculous. But we'll see. We'll make it work. And like, it wasn't like, I guess I was more so bothered by the fact I was like, I wasn't even asked. I was just kind of put into this. I'm not gonna do it twice. And it was what it was. I went out in the second round with Pinky and Nikki and Danny, and we had fun, but
yeah.
You know, it was just a tournament of death moment, I guess.
Yeah, it kind of completely sprung on you though, huh?
Oh yeah. And I remember I was after it was all done, I got cleaned, like I get the second round's done, I get cleaned up and I get my pay, which is, you know, I got compensated very well for it. And like somebody goes, "Are you mad?" And I didn't even say like I was. I was like, "I wasn't even asked. I just end up in this thing." And I remember, I guess it was like 2 weeks later. We came back to the arena, and John, like I'm in the, I bring my bag in, I sit it down, and I'm kind of going through some stuff in my bag. And John walks in and sits next to me, and he goes, "So what, are you fucking pissed at me now?" And I just looked at him, and was like, "Huh?" He goes, "About tournament of death." And I was like, "No." He goes, "Well, sorry." He gets up and walks away. and that is why John Zandig and I have that awkward relationship.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, about a year later, you know, come best of the best time, you were involved in a storyline where you were pretty much the junior heavyweight. And, you know, you more or less had to work that gimmick where you were much smaller than you appeared and all of that stuff. How did that all go for you?
It was just proof of some of my best work is done where I'm getting to cut promos on storylines that we haven't written yet. It was like, you know, it was one of those things where I said, like, well, what if I thought I was a junior heavyweight? And they were like, "Oh, I don't know." I was like, "Okay, well, are you guys going to get rid of me yet?" They're like, "Well, no." I'm like, "Okay. So what do you want me to do?" "Oh, I'll just go out there and cut a promo and be funny." All right. So I'll cut a promo about taking on the junior heavyweight, and it's just all snowballed from there. That's really like the long and short of it. So I was just goofy and over the top and, you know, got to be a fat guy trying to be skinny, and it was fun. And it's always fun when you get to work smaller guys because you can look like so much more of a badass when you do power moves.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that was a cool thing to do. But, no, it was a lot of fun. It was one of those things I was really worried about, it getting old and getting old quick. And for some reason, it stuck and it worked out. And there was the payoff was supposed to be me at best of the best, and then my early understanding was I was supposed to win in the opening round and then lose round two. Well, it got to me being me working Sammy, and you know Sammy's just there's no reason for Sammy to go under to me. So you know I lose Sammy opening round. That was supposed to be the end of it, and then somehow it gets resurrected, and. It got further and further, you know, more over, and I'm like, okay, well, and the next thing you know, Mike Brent pulls me aside and goes, we're gonna cash this in at Cage of Death, and we're gonna put you over. I'm like, nah, that's ridiculous. And because here I am, like, I know that's kind of dumb, you know, because there's no reason for this to really work or happen. Like, no, man, he goes, you know, it's gonna work. It'll be over. I'm like, all right, whatever. So. You know, it happens to go to Cage Death, and they get the Tiger drive somebody in, or Tiger drove Drew Blood into the chocolate cake and win the belt, and in a goofy moment.
Yeah.
It worked, but it was one of those things, like, it was just, it should have just been transitional, should have been one-off, and, you know, we went to January, and I went over again, which, you know, was what it was, but it probably should have been just right off of me and move on to something else, and then they find
right.
out it was gonna get old quick. He's like, okay, we get it. You know, as far as that storyline goes, winning the title is great and wonderful, but you know, ideally it's the thrill is all in the chase and the goofy storyline getting there.
Right. So you more or less didn't want to be holding on to it for any type of length of time.
Well, I mean, I really felt like once I won it, it was going to be like, oh, okay, Greg won it. Now what's next?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I thought the whole excitement was going to be in, you know, the whole working my way there. And if I'd have lost, it'd be like, oh, okay, Greg lost. It was a fun ride while it lasted. When I win and we get the effect of us, you know, we won. We overcame all odds of me weighing 150 pounds more than Drew Blood probably does. But
yeah. People
don't bid that way. Like, oh, wow, the ultimate underdog found a way to beat Drew Blood. He's a worthy adversary.
Hmm.
But, you know, as soon as that happens, it's like, oh, okay. It's like once it happens, it's like, oh, it's awesome. Wait a minute, Greg weighs a lot. Now it's not funny anymore.
Yeah. Well, going off of that, I mean, I'm missing tons of stuff, I'm sure, but not that organized. In 2010, you ended up, and obviously there was some point where, you know, you went from DJ being mad that you got a little too much over to, you know, you and DJ must have patched it up at some point or another because, you know, he ended up taking over and all of that stuff, and you end up being his tag team partner. So, you know, what was the progression between those 2 points?
When he took the company over, the whole story was when he took the company over and I had lost the junior title and I lost the chance to get another chance at it or whatnot, he basically said, well, I don't know what I'm going to have for you. And the whole idea that I had pitched at this point was I wanted to be his Dwight Schrute. I wanted him to be Michael Scott. If you're an Office fan, I wanted him to be Michael Scott and me to be Dwight Schrute. I wanted to be his right hand man, assistant to the owner of CZW.
Right.
I wanted to be right there for him, and that kind of like turned into us being some like ragtag tag team. You know, just kind of, you know, two big guys forced together. You know, and at the time he was going back and forth with Sammy Callahan, the Switchblade Conspiracy, and Moxley and Joe Gacy at the time.
Right.
So it all just, that's how that all, like we kind of just, I guess, came together. I was just trying to keep my job. I was trying to be his yes man, and, you know, I kind of had his back to keep my own job for a second.
Right. And then you ended up in Tangled Web 3 against Sammy and Joe Gacy.
Yeah.
How was that match?
Barbed wire is just not fun. It's not a fun thing to play with. Not a fun thing to run into. It's just like I said, it's a different breed of individual for somebody that does that for a living. Somebody who is a deathmatch wrestler as their means of life. It was an event. First off, you know, I can't say enough about, you know, Sammy Callahan and Joe Gacy, for that matter. You know, I think the world of both those individuals, not, like I said, not to pull the curtain back too far, but I think they're both very talented. Of course, you know, Sammy's resume speaks for itself, and, you know,
right.
Where Sammy will go eventually, you know, that guy's destined for greatness, you know. So, I mean, it's always fun to work with those guys, and it was the first, really my first and only time main eventing in CZW. So I mean that's kind of a little notch, you know. Where guys have been very popular, guys like Drake, guys like Devin have main evented that building, you know, many many times. You know, it was my one chance to do so, and I was more than willing to do the fall into the web, I guess. But afterwards, I immediately regretted that decision.
Yeah.
It was just the shit. It's just horrible. Because, you know, at the time, I had long hair. So as soon as I landed it, and it sloped, it's not like it's like a level, you know, it's the same level with the mat. No, it's all, like, you know, at a, I guess, like a geometry. I guess 45 degrees or whatever. So as soon as he's hitting, my fat ass starts tumbling towards the ring, and this barbed wire grabs a hold of the back of my ponytail, and that's what stopped my momentum. I was like, oh, that was horrible.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, it was. I guess it was good enough. I haven't watched the match. I've never watched that match, but it's a tough moment.
How is that something you normally do, and you just avoided watching that one, or?
I mean, I like to watch stuff and just not just my own stuff. I like to watch the shows, like, because not a lot of times do I really have a chance. Like, if I'm, like, say this Fast show, like, I saw a little bit of the main event, and that was all I saw. I like to actually sit down and watch stuff, and you know, just for the sake of giving feedback to people, like, hey, because all the boys ask, hey, did you watch it? And I want to be able to go, yeah, I did. It was okay, or yeah, it was fucking awesome. You know what I mean? It's just
right.
I want to be able to give that feedback, because you know, in the same vice versa, you know, I want to be able to come back to the curtain, like, hey, man, did you watch it? What'd you think? You know, is there anything I could have done better? Because, and then you watch your own stuff, and you're your own worst critic. Like, man, I'm fat. Well, we already knew I was fat, but am I doing something good, something bad, whatnot? I never watched that match. More so because, like, I remember going back on, that was okay at best. But, I mean, you know, I guess the crowd got out of it what they wanted. They, you know, people get thrown into some web, they get some glass bombs, DT took a big fall, you know.
All right.
You know, like, and the face overcomes in the end. But all in all, long and short of it, wasn't one, like, for me that I was going to write home about.
All right. How did the whole storyline and everything come about, and, you know, the whole idea to hit the finish on your mom?
I'd spent quite some time after Tangled Web. It was one of those things, like, DJ was hurt, he was sidelined, and it was kind of like I had to, you know, go out and do for myself. And then when DJ came back, you know, to be, you know, in the light, in the eyes of the fans and whatnot, you know, it was very, very, I guess, judgmental. Like, I got to go out and prove myself if I want to be here and whatnot. And, you know, I did some stupid things. You know, I wrestled with Nick Gage and got my ass completely handed to me.
Right.
I think the month before that, I had the the opportunity of, you know, to spend a few minutes in the ring with Jon Moxley. And it was one of the things, like, I never did enough to prove myself, but I wanted to keep my job. I always want to prove myself worthy of where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea was, you know, what can I do to, you know, this is the most bloodthirsty crowd, you know, in all of all time. You know, the people that inhabit the arena, or the people of Philadelphia, just are so bloodthirsty, and they want things their way. You know, what can I do to just kind of, like, shock them and give them something that they'll also be, that was fucking awesome, even though it was horribly wrong.
All right.
I came up with this idea. Actually, I pitched to my mom. It's the weirdest thing I've ever said. I pitched the spot to my mom, and sound like a real professional here. This is another man's talk, I'm sure. So I was like, hey, Ma, what do you think about me dropping you on your head in front of, like, 1,000 people at Cage of Death? And she's like, eh, sure, why not?
Pretty laid back.
Well. Oh, yeah, she was real cool about it. And I was like, all right, cool. Well, let's go do that. So she drove up. And I was like, hey, look, let's kind of walk through this. Let's talk. Let's go through, you know, what's going to happen. And the more we kind of, like, talked about it, the more nervous she got. Until finally she goes, you know what, just fuck it. Just fuck it. We'll do it when we're out there. I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, right, we'll just whatever. You know, we'll do it when we get out there. We'll do it. We'll come on back. Okay. And my mother's never been, you know, professionally trained or anything like that. It's just kind of, she follows what I do, and
right.
She's very supportive and whatnot, and she was a woman of her word, and we went out there, and it was a surprise moment. It was the whole story we were trying to tell was I was going to do anything to prove myself to DJ, and at the moment it happened, I just kind of broke down. I broke down, and here comes DJ, and he's screaming at me, "What the fuck did you do?" And it was just like I feel, I don't know. Like I watch that, that's like a proud moment of like that's good storytelling. If you really think back, like, that's good storytelling. Like I didn't have to do anything. I dropped a mole on her head. It was fucking vile and horrible, but here's the reason he did it and why. And you know, my mother's a gamer. I give her a lot of credit for being, you know, 40. She'll be 47 this Saturday, but you know, I'm being 45, 46, and going out there and taking a tiger driver for a kid.
Now, I mean, obviously, you know, as a wrestler, you know, you're always trying to protect your opponent. I think the majority of the wrestling fans know that, but is that like the most nervous you've ever felt hitting another person with a move?
Before going out, yes. In the thrall of the moment, I was just okay. We're going for it. You know, it had to be. I don't know. I guess it had to be. It had to look natural. It had to look like I wanted to do it.
Right.
I knew what I was doing. So I mean, but yeah, I mean that's my mom, bro. That's the reason I like. You know, that's the reason I'm here. That's the reason.
Right.
That's the one. She's, you know, absolutely a gem of a human being. All the boys love her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a gamer. She goes out there and takes tire drivers. What up?
Yeah.
She shows up at Cage of Death. She's like Shawn Michaels now. She shows up at Cage of Death season.
Yeah. Now, I think it was after that the whole thing happened with you and DJ, and you started pretty much like the shooting gimmick.
Yeah.
How did that come about? And I mean, did he just more or less say, you know, say what you want, or, I mean...
No, I told him. You know, DJ and I have always had this kind of tumultuous relationship. It's, I'd say love-hate, I don't know how that really obviously goes, but we've always had this, like, back-and-forth interaction between us. And
right.
I said for this to work, I said, I have to go out here and I have to do what everybody wants to do. In order for this to make sense, I have to go out here and I have to lay it all on the line. I was like, you know, I have to say what they all think and what kind of, you know, I have to do that. And he's like, well, he was like, well, what do you mean? I was like, I have to go out there and shoot on you. And it's going to be vicious and I'm going to say what you want to say. And here's the thing, for wrestling fans, For people who are, you know, in the business and whatnot, everybody's got a DJ Hyde story of this time DJ said this or this time DJ did that or something like that. Everybody's got that story.
Right.
And people feel a certain way about him. And I got to do in one night what everybody felt and wanted to do. They wanted to, it's, you know, at the time, you know, this is the guy who pays me to wrestle for his company. So, you know, it was one of those moments where I also get to kind of, like, fall off my boss, you know? It's very liberating. So, I just remember, you know, just kind of, he asked me once, he goes, what are you going to say? I was like, I don't know, I'll feel it when I get out there. And I'm kind of that way. You know, I don't really come up with ideas and write them down or whatnot. It's all in what feels natural. So I just went out there and kind of flew off the handle a little bit. And it worked. It had to be that, well, you know, Greg's kind of laying on the line. And whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. I mean, I liked it, and it did work. But it was kind of weird because it seemed like, you know, one who would tiger driver their mother was probably a heel. And then pretty much going out there up against DJ in the ring and shooting on DJ, well, the majority of the crowd are not enormous DJ Hyde fans, so... It more or less looked like, okay, now he just did this, but in the same token now, we kind of like everything he's saying. And, I mean, was there any type of feel like you were going to kind of lean back towards the face side on that? Or
the whole dichotomy wasn't supposed to be whether I was going to be a face or a heel. I pitched this whole idea of, like, we got to let these people tell me what I am. Like, however they react is how we're going to go. And the idea being, like, if they side with DJ and that Greg's going off the loose end and he's, you know, he's a bad guy, quote unquote, okay, then, you know, we'll go to the avenue of me being the bad guy.
Right.
But my idea was, the whole story being, I tiger drove her to please him to ensure I had a job. And as soon as I did it, I immediately regretted it. Because everything I've
right.
done prior to that wasn't good enough. So I go out there on the grandest stage of them all, Cage of Death, and I do something to get attention. I do something that creates a buzz that's going to be talked about, thought about, and replayed. And that was the wrong thing to do. But that's where it was like, okay, well, then if that's the wrong thing to do, like, I did this for you. You miserable creature. And that's kind of like, you know, just lay on the line. Like, you know, let's expose who he is. And here's the good part about that is that I have probably the squeakiest clean reputation in wrestling. There's not a whole lot of people that are like, other than, oh, he's fat and he probably can't work a whole hell of a lot. Okay. Aside from being large, there's really not much you can say about me because I live my life open.
Yeah, DJ's attempt at shooting back surely wasn't.
No, it was the worst.
It wasn't very good. But, yeah, so, well, I mean, to get away from CZW for just a minute, you know, this past year, you lost one of your best friends, and JT Roberts. And I figured maybe you wanted to say something about that.
I really didn't expect you to ask for that. That's kind of wild. It's one of those things, like, you know, as far as wrestling goes, we always, you know, all these guys have boys, you know, last year with Dustin, of course, you know, Bailey had died and you know, he's real tight with Drake and Danny and guys like that.
Right.
Justin was a guy I met through wrestling and who grew to be, you know, like a brother, you know, a guy who I traveled up and down the road with. We, you know, sing Hall & Oates at New Jersey, you know, the New Jersey Toll. We'd blare Hall & Oates and sing to the lady taking our money. And just goofiness and, you know, watching him shake when he's getting ready to get married and stuff like that. It's a friendship you make that transcends what wrestling really is. And then in the blink of an eye, you're gone. You know, it's heart wrenching. It hurts. But of course, we all go through this. So we get older, we lose people we're close to, and sometimes we're just taken a lot more tragically than the others.
Right.
It's a shame that he wrestled for, I guess, a year longer than I did. It's a shame he never really got his shake because he was really starting to get it. He was really starting to get in his own and do really good stuff character-wise and work-wise and whatnot. And it would have been nice for him to get, you know, bigger opportunities. It just didn't happen. It's a shame to leave a five-year-old little girl behind.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
At the end of the day, it's a shitty situation. You miss him, you love him, and you wish he was here. Because funny, it's like I thought about this earlier today because I was washing my singlet, and he ragged me for such a fucking long time. He's like, dude, wrestling in a t-shirt, you're fat. I'm like, come on, man, I'm large. We fat guys wrestle in t-shirts. It's what we do. And he never got to see me in the singlet. I'm like, ah, bastard. Fucking just went and died before I proved him wrong. But I, like I said, yeah, it's tough. And this past August, we did a tribute show to him at TBW, and we packed a high school and gave all the money to his widowed wife. And we'll probably go do one again this August, first trust fund for his little girl.
That's
so all, we can, all you can do in wrestling is try to remember the people that will always be with you, that are always closest to you. And we have J.P. Roberts and Simpy Vans that we've sold, and all the money goes to his wife to help out with her living situation and whatnot. And I wrestled with one you know, every match I've had then. So I'm just going to try to keep him. And the whole no sippy thing from Scott Steiner, and you know, Roberts was a big fucking Scott Steiner mark. And to the point where, like, we were trying, like, I was talking to Maven about helping me bring in Scott Steiner to do a show called No Simpy, just because Roberts would have loved it. And,
right.
So everything I've done since has had No Simpy on it, and I will continue to do that. Just kind of, you know, you try to remember your friends the best you can. That's about it.
All right. Yeah, I didn't want to bring you down or anything like that, but, you know, as you said, you know, it's a lot about remembering the people that meant the most to you, and, you know, I started this show and I named the show, you know, in remembrance of Trent Acid, and then, you know, we did a J.C. Bailey tribute. I had Eddie Kingston on when Larry passed away, and, you know, I didn't want to have you on and have you, who I knew was so close to him, not speak about him, so.
Oh, no, I appreciate that. You know, it's like I said, it's really tough because, you know, I don't have a whole lot of family. And that's the God's honest truth. I really don't have a whole lot of family. I don't speak to the half that are miserable, horrible human beings. So there's my mother and my stepfather, and then this wrestling.
Only the good ones get the finish.
this is my, you know, the wrestling has given me a family. You know what I mean? Like, being a kid, you always kind of want to have the big family. Like, oh, cool, we'll go over to so-and-so's, you know, grandma's house, and all my cousins, and this one will be here, my brothers and sisters, blah, blah, blah. And you're your kid, and I was an only child, and it was one of those things like, oh, man, I'd really like to have some brothers and sisters kind of hang out, be cool, and, you know, it just never happened. So it took me quite some time to get some brothers and sisters, but,
yeah.
You know, got them, and I like I said, I look at, you know, people in this wrestling business are, they aren't, like from an outsider looking in, they're grotesque, horrible, miserable human beings. This is some of the best human beings I've ever met in my life, and I'm privileged to call them family. It's the God's honest truth that some of these guys would, you know, I'd lay down and die for if they asked me to. Like, you know, somebody from, if Sammy from Jersey called me, I'm like, hey, man, can you come up here and help me move? I'm in a shitty situation. I'd drive the 3 hours and I'd be there.
Right.
He'd be there for me. It's just that, you know, it's just how you make friends and do shit like that.
Yeah. Well, that's great stuff, man. It's good that, you know, you guys are able to take care of each other, and, you know, whether you have a whole huge family or, you know, this is all you got, then, I mean, that's great. You have someone to lean on, so. Well, I want to get into the whole, you know, feud you got going with Mia Yim, and started, I guess, in November at Night of Infamy. And I believe, right?
Yes.
Okay. You know, how did that all come about? Were you randomly picked, or, you know, was this something worked out between you and Mia, or?
In all honesty, if we're pulling back the curtain, I was supposed to wrestle Akira Tozawa at Night of
Okay.
End. That was That was supposed to be what it was supposed to be. And then some situations happened with how things were getting worked out between, I guess, Dragon Gate and DJ and whatnot. And he came to me and said, I don't think it's going to work out. And I was like, oh, I was kind of bummed because I was looking forward to singing with an Asian guy in a wrestling ring, seeing how that would be. But he goes, well, you know, Steph kind of pitched an idea, his first pitched an idea. Like, what about you and Mia? I'm like, all right. You know, it's like, all right, why not? Let's go do that. I don't care. You know, we'll go out and we'll have fun. And the whole idea is, well, you just go out and squash her because, you know, you with what happened with, you know, her sticking her nose and, you know, you giving her a cannonball, you just go out there and beat her up. I'm like, that's kind of dumb. Let me go out there and let's go out there and, you know, trade backdrop drivers. That'll be much more fun in the long run.
Right.
So it was just one of those scenarios. Like, you go out there and, okay, you're given 7 minutes. Okay, make it hot. And something sparks, and next thing you know, something pops.
I thought it went really, really well. Now, you know, I talked to Sammy about this type of thing, too, you know, back when I had him on and random occasions. But, it kind of, you know, is reminiscent to, you know, not to step ahead or anything, but like kind of what Mia said after this past match was, you know, thank you for treating me like a wrestler. Like back when Sammy got in there with LaFisto, he, I mean, he was relentless, and he, you know, he went in there and it was just like, you know, all out, and it was like no different than any other dude that was in the ring. And it was kind of the way it looked like you approached it, and that's the way it should come off, because it actually makes the other person look like a wrestler, no matter what, you know, sex they are or whatever case is. But was that difficult for you, or was it just second nature to just treat her like the wrestler she is?
Oh, no, I was going to treat her like a wrestler. You know, she was going out there, and I told her, you know, I remember when we were putting together the first one, I was like, okay, well, you're going to hit me hard, I'm going to hit you hard, and let's go out there and do something fun. And that was about it. You know, I've never looked at, like, I remember what was funny is, like, after, I guess it was the day after or something like that, and I'm not going to lie, she fucked my world up a little bit. She kicked me in the face several times and just, like, just messed me up real good. And I, you know, don't get me wrong, I gave it back to her. You know, she was probably feeling me the next day. I'm not gonna bullshit that.
Yeah.
But I got a text message from Adam Flash, and it said, "Hey man, saw you wrestled Mia last night. Did you get a chubby? ? And I texted back without thinking, bro, she kicked me too fucking hard to think about getting a chubby. Just the God's honest truth, because you know she's a hard hitting. She's a talented individual, man, woman, whatever you want to look at. She's just a talented individual in our industry. You know what? And we wanted to do something that was going to shake things up. And in all fairness, you know, we're following a Dragon Gate show where, like, you know, it's just phenomenally, you know, talented individuals. And we knew, you know, our show on Night of Infamy was stacked. You know, and the main event was going to be, you know, Sammy and Cole, and that was going to be phenomenal. Like, and I've been on this kick. Okay, what can we do that's going to be different? We're already a guy and a girl, so let's go out there and let's trade New Japan falsies. And so, you know, it's one of those moments. You know, she's just a tough individual, and I, like I said, I never looked at her like, oh, she's a girl, she's this, and just went out there working. And I knew, like, For it to kind of be that moment was like, okay, well, I have to take some stuff too. She's got to give me some big stuff. You know, give me a German. She's got to give me that backdrop driver. And, you know, as far as like classically trained, you know, pro wrestlers going, well, that doesn't make sense. You know what? Yeah, at some point, we got to suspend belief just a little bit to allow, again, I wear superhero underwear. We got to suspend belief just a little bit for it to mean so much more in the end of it. So,
right. Yeah, definitely. I thought it went awesome. Then the rematch was January, and it was the big last show in the arena type thing. And yeah, how did that whole, you know, rematch come about? And was there any different, you know, psychology or anything like that going into the match to try to outdo the first one?
Well, that's always the thing. It's one of those situations where the first match had low expectations, and we far exceeded them.
Right.
So you go into a rematch, and it's like, well, the expectations are that much higher. Can you meet them or exceed them now? I thought the second match was good enough to get by. I thought there was some stuff that we did that was good. I thought some stuff that was, I don't know, I just wasn't a big fan of. We didn't call a whole lot. The whole idea being that I once we had that first match, I said to DJ, I was like, there's money in a rematch here. You know, we just got to be smart about it. So, I mean, we weren't too sure about venues after the arena. So it was like, okay, we're at a hotshot rematch. Okay, let's do that. And, you know, the Yoshi Tonic, the good part about it is Yoshi Tonic is the pop of the match. And it was by far the most unbelievable thing we did all night, as far as tomorrow night. You know what I mean? So I mean that's cool. But you know the psychology being, you know, again, we have to go try and top ourselves, and that was, like I said, with the expectations, it was a tough tough task. But it was good enough to get by as far as I look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I liked it. And then, you know, seeing the first two matches, as soon as, you know, you guys did that spot at the anniversary show and she came out and challenged you and then it was going TLC, and right off the bat, I had no question about it. I said, this match is going to be fucking insane. And I was highly, highly looking forward to that match. And, I mean, what you guys went out there and did on Saturday was fucking unreal. And I don't know if you remember it, but...
I don't remember the last 5 minutes, I would say. I'd say since the last thing I remember, I've been wrestling for 8.5 years. I've never had a blackout moment.
Right.
And, you know, I've been hit hard. I've been, you know, that choke slam at that one show from Brody where I caught the ladder and hit concrete. That did knock
yeah.
me out. I was pretty much fine. The last thing I remember from Saturday was I was laying on a table and she was climbing up for a moonsault and I cut her off. And after that, it's bits and pieces. I don't remember a whole lot. And I remember like having that moment of clarity is I'm backstage again, sitting on the aerial assault box. And the doctor's like asking me a bunch of questions and I'm just no clue how I got there.
Yeah.
If somebody said I cut a promo, no clue what I said. None. Absolutely none. So it's like I'm kind of intrigued and like I'm excited now to fucking see the DVD. I'm like, shit, it's like watching myself wrestle, I'm not even having an idea how it ends.
Do you remember what actually did knock you out? Was it the
I hit the back of my head on concrete. I believe when I cut her off, I went to go for a back suplex to the table, a la Mankind, Shawn Michaels.
Right.
And she turned into it like a crossbody.
The crossbody, right.
Yeah, and I think the ladder hit like my lower back and just rocked my head back with her body weight. And I don't remember a whole lot after that.
Yeah, which is going to give me no answer to this question. But the finish was, you know, a sunset flip into a powerbomb, which is insane. But my first thought after seeing the second match, as she climbed that ladder and reached the top, is holy shit, they're going to do a Yoshi off of this fucking ladder. Was there any plans of that? Can you remember that?
Rich, when we called it, it was like, okay, what's the finish going to be? And it was like, okay, well, I said sunset bomb. I was like, well, let's do the sunset bomb. And she's like, well, you know, she goes, I've never done one. And I was like, okay. She goes, I've done the Yoshi Tonic. I feel comfortable for that. And I was like, okay, well, let me just say this. I kicked out of the Yoshi Tonic one. Granted, it'd be off a ladder and through a table. I got it. But I'd rather be something like one of those ones, like we do something new and I don't kick out of it. Like,
right.
I didn't want to put that thought because like, I wanted it to be definitive, like, oh shit, that's got to be the finish.
Right.
That wasn't a whole hell of a lot. Comfortable with, like, okay, like, how are we going to do a Yoshi Tonic off this thing and not die?
Yeah.
So
I was thinking.
Yeah, but, I was pretty adamant. I was like, let's do the sunset bomb. I think it'll look really cool. I think the table will explode. And, it'll be easy from there. But, And kudos to her. She it's not her element. She's not a person that does these goofy gimmick stuff. The table, bladders, chairs, the blood stuff, and she hung in there. She fought me every step of the way.
Yeah, she definitely did. It was an incredible match by the two of you, and I can't say enough about it. It was just great stuff. I'm sure you'll enjoy it very well as a spectator afterwards.
I hope so. I hope it's like, in my mind, it's like, man, this is the shits. Why are you moving so slow? That's right, because you knocked the fuck out.
Yeah, no, it was very, very good. Is there, you know, things that you've done in your career that you'd never do again? Yeah, you know, whether it be a stipulation or anything.
I'd like to say wrestle DJ, but that's probably... I'm probably going to get stuck doing that eventually at some point in my life again.
Used all your genie wishes.
What?
So you used all your genie wishes. You couldn't get out of that.
Damn it. Not a big fan of the of all things. I'm not a big fan of light tubes.
Right.
Not too many people are. Wait, nobody, you know, goes and does it and goes, man, that was fun. I don't know, man. You never say never. I could probably be talked into if I thought it was worth it. If something made sense to me, I'm gonna say light tubes. I don't want to do light tubes ever again. But
right.
if working the right person that I trusted and under the right circumstances, I could probably be talked into it.
What would you say is your favorite match you've ever had?
I'd like to see Mia and I from this past Saturday. it would be nice.
To candidate.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
And me and her, the first one from Night of Infamy, because it was so different. It was something,
right.
You know, in my time of wrestling, it's like, you know, I take pride in the fact that a lot of times I'm given situations where I probably shouldn't succeed, and I find a way, or we find a way to make it work.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, and that's. You know, it's something to hang my hat on. I wasn't. I'm not blessed with six pack abs or the ability not to look like a bear in a rubber band when I wear tight underwear. I was given the fact of okay, like I can work a little bit. And I have some decent timing. I find a way to make stuff work most of the time. And that was that match. It was like okay, well, they don't expect a whole lot. We're gonna go out there and give them a whole lot. And. If it's not that match, like I'm probably going to say that one. At Justin's memorial show, I worked another Poor Horseman alumni by the name of Core, and he and I just fucking killed each other and had a great match, just a wrestling match, and it was a lot of fun. And under the circumstances where you're like, you know, everybody's crying and upset and whatnot, we just went out there and. You know, paid homage to our best friend.
All right. What would be a dream match that you have, or dream matches?
Oh wow, dream matches. This is straight shoot. I said this on a radio interview before. This is before Steph and I did anything like any inkling of that happened. I said my dream match was. Me and Sarah Del Rey. How weird is that? Like I just ended up going this whole fucking program with Mia, where Mike like Sarah Del Rey. Like I remember like going on the road with her once to a show in Canada, and such a nice human being, just a wonderfully polite and smart individual. And
right.
then she went up there and wrestled some chick in Canada and beat the ever-loving piss out of her. And it was fucking awesome. She did that, like, roll kick. The girl's getting into the ring. And she did that, like, rolling heel kick. And this girl's world up. It was just fucking great. And I was like, yep, I want to do that. I want to wrestle that. Because I would just let her beat the shit out of me, and it would be fun, and we'd find a way to make it work. Aside from her, like if that never happens, which in the political wrestling world that it is today, who knows if that'll ever happen. My second pick is always been Generico.
Okay.
Because that guy gets more sympathy than any other wrestler in the history of time.
Yeah.
And he's phenomenally talented and just be somebody I think I'd have fun with. Like we could goof off and then do fun stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Given, you know, the opportunity, say you were to, you know, make it into the, you know, the TV product, is there any guys up there that you would consider your dream match that you would like to see yourself on TV up against?
Do we still classify TNA as TV?
If you choose to classify it as that, then by all means.
actually, it was funny. Like, I was supposed to work Eric Young recently, but apparently it got changed, money got screwed up or something like that.
Okay.
Man, dream matches of guys that are on TV. Why can't I go back 5 years? Why can we go back 5 years and you answer that question? I said Kurt Angle on a heartbeat.
Yeah, it's a little different now.
Oh, God. Yeah, because he looks weird now.
Yeah, he does.
Like a beat. Yeah, man, Pill did not do that body good. Like,
no, no.
Rough.
It's a shame. It really is. I was just talking to Uha last week about it, and you know how tremendous he was and how many guys' heroes he was, and he's just kind of a shadow of that at best now. And yeah,
absolutely. I mean, I've said it a couple times. I'm like, man, it'd be nice if like him and Vince could like patch things up. Could I really go for a best of Kurt Angle? Because that guy was the tits, man, out of nowhere, just on the scene, and he was, you know, over like Grover, and everything he did was on point, and just you know, entertaining promos, and oh God, and, you know, you go back and forth. You can name, you know, off the top of your head, just a handful of matches. Like I remember him and Benoit. Well, you're not supposed to talk about that match for Royal Rumble, and it was the same Royal Rumble that Triple H and Scott Steiner shit the fucking bed in. They went out there and put on like a fucking masterpiece. It was Angle up, and then like the, you know, it's the first time like people really got Benoit for a second. They gave him a standing ovation.
Yeah,
and it was just such a, that was a great match. And then Michaels, like, that would be a fun, you know, if we had a DeLorean and a flux capacitor, I'd say that one 5 years ago. Probably Eric Young. You know, I think we'd have fun. As far as like everybody on WWE, that WWE is the dance. That's where everybody aspires to go. That's where we all want to work towards and be ideally. That's
right.
Every time you put on boots and you kind of hope like, oh, maybe one day they'll have a need for somebody like myself. But you know, they've already got the one funny guy in Santino, and he should be world champion. I'm just throwing that out there now.
He's awesome. He really is. Yeah, I don't know. Well, speaking of that, I mean, goals. What are your goals?
I'm realistic. I'm a realistic guy. When I first was like shopping out like wrestling schools, actually while I was backyarding, my friend Mike was training at a wrestling school in Maryland. And I went there, and this, you know, 350-pound fucking slack-jawed idiot, you know, wearing a stained-up wife beater and blue sweatpants to teach me how to pro-wrestle. Meanwhile, I'm a wide-eyed, bushy-tailed dumbass. I'm like, okay, you know, let me see what this guy knows and whatnot. So you go through the first thing, and he's like, okay, well, let me teach you how to Shakespeare, let me teach you how to bump, and then we're going to learn chops. I'm like, really? That's how you do this? Like, that's going to be the progression of how we do this? And he told me I didn't belong in a wrestling ring ever. I was like, oh, okay. Meanwhile, that guy was working at a Sunoco station in Hanover, PA, and you know, I'm still doing this, I guess. So, my goals, I want to go overseas again, which I'm pretty sure I'll be going to England and Germany at the end of this year. I would like to wrestle in Japan. That's you know, the goal of any true indie wrestler, I think, is, oh yeah, I want to hone my craft in Japan because Japanese fans are just fucking awesome, and the culture and what it means to them is so much different than what it is over here. And like I said, it's everybody's goal when you strap on boots to do this, to really throw yourself into this, is to one day make it to the dance. And I'd like to wrestle on television once. I'd be that big, like, if that's the goal, that's it for me. I can go on television and get squashed by fucking Brodus Clay.
It seemed like that was rough to get out.
it kind of hurt, I'm not gonna lie. But I can go on TV and be squashed by somebody just to say, like, hey man, I did it once. I was on television once. How cool was that? And, you know, go on about my merry way in life. I'd be okay with that. I could die a happy man with a, you know, wonderful wife and family and stuff like that.
Have you ever made a point of stopping by at Sunoco Station on the way to a wrestling show in gear?
That guy, dude, let me tell you something. So, he actually, this is the same guy, ended up promoting shows in Hanover, where we started inevitably running shows. He had stopped running. There was a cry for when we started running pro shows, we ran in Hanover because he had left. He decided he was done. So we started running shows. So this idiot starts deciding we stepped on his toes after he done screwed all the boys over on money and shit. Decides he wants to start running shows again 2 miles down the road directly against us in a place where, like, the unemployment is probably 15-20%. This is 10 years ago.
Yeah.
In order to make people choose. So he wants to run shows. And he don't like me. Okay, whatever. So he brought in like Nikolai or stuff like that. And Nikolai's a decent enough guy, I guess. But he's I don't know, 20 years ago he was a draw. 10 years ago he might have been a draw.
Yeah.
So I remember us going, after the show, we would go to Bateman's, kind of hang out as a crew, and he had run against us that night. And he comes walking in, and he, like as soon as he opens the door, he makes a beeline for me. And I'm like, if we're throwing hands, you know, I want to at least finish my soda. You know, I want to. So he comes right up to me and goes, "So, what'd you draw tonight?" And I was like, I don't know, you know, it's kind of shitty. I think it was like, you know, 100, 105. I couldn't remember offhand.
Yeah.
He goes, "Yeah, we drew 7. I said, it was a fucking rinky-dink fire hall. And I was like, 7? 700? He goes, "No, 7 people." We drew 7 people. And I just kind of looked at him, and he's like, and he goes, "I'm done for real this time. I'm done." And he just turned around and left.
That's a nice gift.
I know, right? He didn't have to come tell me that, but I did.
No, he didn't. I guess he's sorry. Well, do you watch the TV product and all that stuff now?
I DVR Raw. I don't really catch SmackDown. Yeah, I mean, you know, and what's weird is, I guess, I used to DVR Impact, but my DVR just stopped DVRing it. That's the God's honest truth. I don't know what happened or how it happened. It's just, I guess it decided enough's enough.
Yeah.
They don't want to watch Sting anymore, as the DVR says, I guess. I watch Raw and whatnot, and of course, you know, it's coming up to WrestleMania. And it's weird because, like, you get to Rumble every year, and then, like, everything they did for the last, like, 9 months, they kind of stopped doing. They're like, okay, we're going to kind of do this, like, indie shows a little bit with our way of doing it.
Right.
And, like wrestling is hot, and, like, you know, stuff on TV is kind of cool. I'm like, wow, I can watch this. It's for like 3-4 months, and then as soon as May is over, I'll be like, oh, okay, it's back to this.
All right. What's some of the stuff that you like, you know, that they're doing right now?
Well, I see they rehashed the CM Punk storyline that he's done in every promotion he's ever worked for, and the whole Straight Edge, you know. They're doing the same storyline that he did with Raven in Ring of Honor.
Yeah, with Raven in Ring of Honor.
10 years ago?
First thing I thought of.
Yeah, in 03, maybe? Don't quote me on that. I don't remember exactly when he was, but many years ago.
Yeah.
They're going to do that. And it'll be good, but, you know, for you know, Smart Mark indie fans and guys who followed it, you know, it's like, oh, okay, well, we've already seen this. But, I worry a little bit about what Triple H and Taker are gonna do. That's kind of scary. Just for the fact that I don't know what's left of that man. I really don't. It's a sad. All reports point to like, oh man, he's sewn together. He's like a really patchwork quilt of a human being.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's his last one. I mean, you would imagine.
You would think this would be it. You would certainly think so. And that's the weird dichotomy. It's like you know, do you put him over and have the streak remain? Here's the thing. Like, he's wrestling Triple H. Triple H does not need to beat him. It's all said and done. He doesn't need to beat him. So if he's wrestling somebody else or would actually help or do something for him, like I'm the guy that ended The Undertaker, that would really create a new star and give a guy a reason. But here's Triple H. Right. The guy's done. You know, Triple H could wrestle maybe two to three more times within the next 2 years. You might as well say. He's not going to be an active wrestler. He's going to be a character. He's going to wrestle only when it's absolutely needed. So
yeah.
it doesn't behoove him anything to beat The Undertaker. But
yeah.
The best way to get rid of The Undertaker would have him the streak end, him to die, him to go off in the sun, you know what I mean, just kind of disappear, as far as how the character of The Undertaker has been. It's an interesting thing. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff going into WrestleMania that will be interesting. You know, the whole, it was kind of funny, like last year, Daniel Bryan and Sheamus get bumped off a pay-per-view, and now they're the world title fight.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of cool, and you know, it's just an interesting turn of events, I guess you could say.
What's your thoughts on the whole Rock Cena thing?
I'm just really tired of hearing him talk. I give it a lot of credit that they stuck with something for a whole year. That's phenomenal. As far as how television is now, how pay-per-views are every 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, you know, depending.
Yeah.
They stuck with something for an entire calendar year. You know, it was a lot easier to do when you only had 4 pay-per-views or 6 pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You know, they stuck with it, and they found a way to make it work with the guy not there. And they gave, you know, Cena other stuff to do and whatnot, and you know, here we are, and you know, now they're building it. I just think in the last month, it's one of those things, like, has The Rock really lost his luster in the last month of being on television the whole time? You know, that's my worry. Is the crowd really going to be behind him? I mean, in my head, they probably will be behind him, but...
Yeah, they will.
I mean, it's...
Yeah, I don't know. It's just weird going a whole year with a, you know, guys so mad and so hating of each other and don't touch each other for an entire year.
The WrestleMania is the first, so I guess is this the last Raw before it? Coming up?
Let me see. No, I think they got one more.
Okay.
Yeah, you got the 19th and the 26th.
Okay.
So I could and it still interacts, but
Yeah, we watched I guess I had DVR Raw and I watched the other day, I watched some the sing off, I guess.
Yeah, The Rock.
That was just absolutely miserable to sit through. this is getting annoying. This is just
some comedy to it, but you know.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's like the first 3 minutes of it, I'm like, that's The Rock. He's funny. I get it. And then like the next 9 minutes of it, I'm like, Jesus, somebody please. I was waiting for a run in. I'm waiting for something. I'm praying for, like, I don't know, anything at this point. I'm like, come on. This is just it.
Yeah.
We had Cena earlier in the show coming out to his, the whole work-life music and whatnot. It was, you know, which the shame of it is, I'm like, man, that could probably work now. Like, if he went back to that whole hard-edge, nasty rapper roots, that might get good heel heat, you know, or vice versa. You know, it might revitalize him some and,
yeah, it couldn't hurt.
Oh, he sells a lot of shirts.
I don't really have a lot more. Figure before I let you off, I definitely want to get a Greg Excellent promo for Yakuza Kick Radio.
Oh, man. I get to cut a promo.
We're giving you mic time and everything.
Oh, man. First day of camp. Okay. I didn't go to camp. Fat camp. What's going on with you? This is Greg Excellent, the bearded dragon of the Northeast. And you're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. And if you're not, you're probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it. Jason Mann. Peace.
Thanks, man. That's awesome. Is there anything else you want to plug, promote, anything else?
I mean, you can try. I have a website, which is weird. It's gregexcellent.com for all your Greg Excellent needs. I'm really not sure what Greg Excellent needs are, but we put stuff up about places I'm going to be and stuff like that and old promos, and I sell merch there. My promotion, dvwrestling.com, and we run when we can and afford to. And, the biggest thing is just keep supporting indie wrestling. You know, it's a lot of the – I stress that. You know, there's so much political and territorial nonsense and stupidity, but if we all find a way to work together, we can all, we can all survive. And that's what the thing is. You know, we're not going to – we really aren't going to get rich doing this. We can all survive, and we can all allow the business to flourish a little bit. And inevitably, the people who win are the wrestling fans. So – and I will always be one of those. So I want to see this succeed. I want to see the wrestling business flourish. And it's a fun time to be a wrestling fan when that does happen. But, man, thanks for having me on. It's been awesome.
Oh, it's not a problem. Thank you very much for coming on. You're welcome back anytime. I wish you luck in everything you're doing. And, hope to see you continue this role you're on.
Thank you, man. And I'll catch up with you soon.
Awesome. All right. I'll talk to you later, Greg.
Do it.
Good night. Yep. So there you have it. That was Greg Excellent. Phenomenal guest. Just a lot of stuff to talk about. Went over, I think I covered everything, but I'm probably wrong. Usually am. But, great guy. Couldn't ask for a better interview out of that guy. And as I previously said, I have no co-host tonight. So... guess what I'm going to do now? I'm going to play a song, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to try to wing everything else I got solo. So, I'm going to do this. Alright? Here goes a little, here's a little Wayne track. Fuck it.
Damn, you just been hitting the head with the worldwide exclusive.
Yeah, buddy. Weezy F, baby.
Holy shit. Where'd you find this?
My paper. See, when I do what I do it. I say, when I do what I do it. That right.
The Empire.
I know my dick because I make a lot of money. I don't know why, cause she gets none. Bring it back.
The Empire.
All on my dick, cause I make a lot of money. But I don't know why, cause she gets none from me. She only gets dick way down in the tummy. And she tell all of her friends, now her friends wanna bring it back.
Well,
she gets dick way down in the tummy. And she tell all of her friends, now her friends wanna fuck me. I'm looking in the mirror and I see a dollar sign. I had a cat stand and I had money on my mind. I tell a bitch, go and get my name on your spine. So I can feel good when I'm hitting it from behind. I'm fresh, rock, fresh, baby, I'm that boss. Now put me in the pot and watch I come back hard. Yeah, put me on the block and watch I come back rich. Now she done put
Empire
me in that position, she ain't
not
come
for
back
the weak
hearted. Hard dick
meat like a winning ring. I told her that I'm married to the money, committed to the cash.
Empire mixtapes, not for the weak hearted.
When the dope is sweet,
the Empire.
I live in the tower, got a scope on the heat, hit you from 100 feet. We don't even have to meet. Your bitch love me, we don't even have to meet. But if I run into her, believe me, I will. Hold on.
The Empire.
Bitch love me, we don't even have to meet. But if I run into her, believe me, I will.
Worldwide
exclusion. That bitch is crazy, believe me, I will sue her. Got some hungry as lawyers that will eat her up and chew her. I don't know how you love her, I wish I never knew her. She only gave me brains, she was just another duper. She blew my whole band, I was just another trooper. Now get off my dick and get lost in the rooper. It's money over bitches, cash money over bitches, young money over bitches, get money from the bitches.
There's the add some hoes, some Lil Wayne shit. I don't really like that much Lil Wayne, to be quite honest, but I always like that track. So, yeah. Well, I guess what I'll get into now, sure, shit isn't going to be Japanese with Eric, but I'll go into the CZW show that happened this past weekend. All right. As I said previously, weird venue, all of that stuff. You know, you know, this whole thing, like I said, from the start, you know, when they went on this, don't know where we're going to work, and first it was the hockey rink, and then it was the gym, and then we're back to the hockey rink, and like I said originally, I feel like Dora the fucking Explorer, you know, running around finding where I'm going, and I got kind of like a little map with me, but instead it's a little GPS the girl got on the phone, and this bitch would be like, we ain't got no service right now. And then you pass your exit. And then they're like, oh, I'm back. But you need to find a new route because you were supposed to turn there. It's like, oh, okay, we'll just be, you know, be at the building maybe a half hour later than we were going to be. And we didn't miss anything, thank God. But still, this is what you deal with when you're just new places, new times, whatever. You know. Anyway, back in Voorhees next month. It'll work. It'll do. So anyway, they started off the show, and they had Danny Havoc come out. He was supposed to fight anybody from the Gulak campaign for a better combat zone, and it ended up being Alexander James, which I'm sure the majority of you don't know who the hell that is. Well, it's the guy I've been calling a Chris Hero action figure for the past, you know, as long as he's been coming out with Gulak. So it was that, and it was a squash, and that was it. And really not much to talk about. Then Azrael and Bandido successfully defended their CZW tag team titles against the Blackout and the Runaways. This was actually better than the past couple matches that Azrael and Bandido have had with first the Blackout and then the Runaways. And I thought it went well. I was actually surprised that they went over because they will be on the Jersey All-Pro show the date of Best of the Best. Now, honestly, you know, a card that stacked, you know, with talent, you really don't need your tag team titles defended on that. But, you know, me, I'm super critical with the titles and want them to look good at all times. So just didn't think that they were going to do that. But, you know, they did. So good match. Nothing wrong with it. Yeah, that was that. Masada. Next match, he went in and defeated Adam Cole. And DJ helped out, tried to help out Adam Cole, and Masada still won, and DJ yelled at Adam Cole, da da da. This was that match where anybody who thought deathmatch guys are just deathmatch guys. Now, I knew Masada had tremendous wrestling ability as well, so it was no surprise to me. But if anybody wasn't aware of that, this was the match that would show you that this guy can wrestle. No problem. You could keep up with a guy as quick as Adam Cole, and that's exactly what he did. And, good match. After the match, he had Tremont come out, confront DJ Hyde. DJ, attacked him in the midsection, which Tremont had like a real deal, injury type thing going in his, somewhere internally or whatever. And he had some problems, so they worked a little bit off of that. And pretty much prompted, DJ Hyde gets, is giving Tremont his match against him at Best of the Best. So we'll see where that goes. Next up, you had a match of Jake Crist, Chuck Taylor, and A.R. Fox defeating Dave Crist and Billy's Most Wanted. Now, to start off, this match, the thing that was real cool about this, like, from the start, is, like, I always like Jesus look with the, with the afro out and everything. Because, you see a lot of guys, with braids and stuff like that, and it's honestly not that unique. And it's cool. I mean, it works for what it is, and, there's nothing wrong with it, but definitely, you don't see a lot of guys, big-ass fro going on. And so that was a cool look for starters. Second thing that's been hugely missing from these guys is Joker's face paint. I mean, that was always cool back in the day. He used to have some cool-ass face paint back with the blackout and stuff. And he'd switch it up. He'd come up with all sorts of different, different looks for the face paint. Like, he'd just come out and the shit would look off the hook. I don't know who paints it. I didn't even think to ask him when I had him on the show, because it was more or less like out of sight, out of mind type thing, because it was so long since he had the paint on. And if I have him back on, I guess I'll ask him, what made him stop wearing the paint, and who's actually the person who does that paint, because for Christ's sakes, I mean, he came out with this paint that was like split face, like black and blue with some white and stuff in there. Shit was ballistic. I mean, if you guys got me on Facebook, go on my pictures and look at them. I think, last I checked, Joker has one of my pictures as his default picture right now. And, I mean, it just looks fucking awesome. So, looks-wise, I mean, they came out as the coolest-looking Philly's Most Wanted team that they've ever put out yet. Because G's had the look on, Joker had the look on, and, of course, these guys' ring work is on point. And the Crist brothers, there's nothing better. You can't say enough about how talented those guys are in the ring. Chuck Taylor, of course, tremendous. And A.R. Fox, again, I mean, what more can you say about this guy that hasn't already been said? So, other than he hasn't been on Yakuza Geek Radio. Coming soon. He put on a great display, great six-man tag, and, they went in on that. Next up, you had the match that, we had Greg on. Mia Yim defeated Greg Excellent in a bloody and intense TLC match, is how they listed it. Well, I mean, yeah, this match was crazy. And, like we had talked about, Greg got knocked out at a point in the match. He was just fucking loopy. And they continued that match. They were going to check on Greg. They were going to see if he was able to continue somewhere three-quarters of the way through the match. Then Greg, fought off the security and battled his way back to the ring and continued the match. Hugely emotional match as it came down to the end. And you really saw that, they were, they were going in and they were going to finish this match, win, lose, or draw, whatever. And it was great stuff. Hold on. Hey, Juan, what's up, man?
What's up?
Hey, Juan.
Nah, dude, I'm fucking exhausted.
Yeah. Tired, I've been tired all night, man. So.
Fuck is Eric at?
Eric? I don't know, man. I think he lives in Allentown.
What do you mean he lives in Allentown?
That's where he lives.
I know that, but is he supposed to be with you?
I live in Jersey. I don't know what goes on with Eric, man. I just do me. I just,
that's your boy,
get,
though, man. That's your.
That's for anyone to decide. But what I'm saying is just overall, like, I just get random texts, like, the day of the show, and, you know, hey, can't make it. All right, I'm going to be, like 40 minutes late.
He's acting like he's walking somewhere. You mean he can't make it to the phone? Like, what the fuck?
Nah, he was not able to, he was not able to do it tonight. He told me he had nowhere to do the show. So, just on my own, as I've been doing, and had a great time with Greg, going over to CZW show now, and yeah, man.
Yeah, I was listening to him on my way home.
Cool. Anything you want to get into real quick? You want me to continue on the CZW card, or?
Nah, dude, you can go ahead and tell him. I'm going to be a proud papa.
All right. The next match was just weird because it went into intermission after that, you know, rightfully so, after crazy just brawl between these two, Jim going over Greg Excellent, just awesome shit. And then come back from intermission, and it was Kit Osborne against AJ Evers. And right off the bat, it screamed like, okay, who's running out and killing the two of them? And it's happened a million times with Kit Osborne in the ring. I mean, Gage has killed him. Ego's killed him. Tremont's killed him. Like, he's just been the guy that's in the ring having a match that gets interrupted, and he gets destroyed in the middle of the ring. That's just his role. And after intermission, you know, after intermission, for this guy to just have a match where no interruption happens, it was shocking as shit. And, like, they went through the match, and you're just sitting there in awe, like, what's going to happen? And nothing fucking happened. And
he's
just gets a
boy.
He just gets a clean win. And fucking, we just sit there like, what? I don't know if you want to bet over the weekend. And, like, they were like, yeah, we'll give you a second half match. I don't know what happened. So, anyway, that was that. It was just weird. So, you know, following that big match, they had Drake Younger up against Sami Callihan. Sami successfully defended his title, but it happened when he pinned Drake with Drake's foot on the bottom rope. And Sami saw it. He didn't like it. Drake saw it. He didn't like it. The ref saw it. And he kind of shrugged his shoulders like, yeah, what are you going to do? And then they more or less challenged for the rematch to happen, first round, best of the best. And it put 13 guys into best of the best instead of 12, putting Drake in the tournament, and he's going to meet up with Sami in the first bracket.
Wait, who's in it this year?
I'll get into that in a minute because I don't want to jump ahead of this card. I want to get through this card first. Well, the thing is I got to say before anything else, this match was fucking crazy. This was a fast-moving, hard-hitting, just everything that you could expect, you know, out of these two guys. I mean, the longest reigning CZW World Heavyweight Champion and the current reigning and defending CZW World Junior Heavyweight Champion, and they just went at it, man. They definitely beat the shit out of each other. It was just great, fucking fast moving, you know, spots, everything you could want. Great stuff. Then came down to main event. Well, not main event, my bad. Co-main event. Before this main event happened, and I had heard actually rumblings in the building beforehand, and it was announced before the match that it was supposed to be Ego challenging and Devin challenging against Scotty for his world title. Well, it was announced that Ego Robert Anthony is retired.
No way.
Abruptly, more or less, retired. He sent thank yous to a bunch of people he was friends with in the business and everything like that. He's got some good stuff going on with his job and everything like that. And for whatever reason, can't speak for him, but he's retired from professional wrestling at this point. So, yeah, you got Devin out there. You got Scotty out there. Well, DJ's music hits. So then you're like, oh, boy, great.
No big surprise there. I'm going to be in the main event.
Yeah, so then DJ comes out, he's got his fucking tights on, and he's like, you know, I'm fucking wrestling, and, you know, that's it. Well, to everybody's surprise and delight, Masada's music hits, and he storms the fucking ring. Now, it's been a long time since this has happened, but to my recollection, but could be wrong, but guys used to work double duty in CCW all the time. You had Trent working 2 to 3 times in some shows, and it wasn't just the best of the best. It was so many different things that they found ways. Sometimes guys had a junior heavyweight title, and they had a tag title, and they had 2 title matches on one show, and it just it put guys on such a caliber that you looked at them month in and month out, and you're like, wow, this guy, man. So Masada did that. He came in. And, you know, he said, I want part of this match and this and that. And DJ said, you know, and, it, you know, fantastic promo cutting ability. I can't even mimic the amount of lyrical genius that DJ displayed. But then he said something like, you could have a shot, but it's ultraviolet rules. Like, that's something that Masada can't handle. And then he hits him. It wasn't like, you know, you had someone who was not into ultraviolent rules challenging. Yeah, fucking Masada, the ultraviolent underground champion. So, okay, ooh, I bet you he's scared. So they go down, and Tremont ends up coming out during the match, battles to the back with DJ, so then it's pretty much down to being a three-way. That, you know, they just went out, and they did that. And Masada ended up getting the win. Masada, new world champion. And that's something that is... should have happened a long time ago. He's been one of the biggest beasts, if not the biggest beast in the company. He is definitely a flagship type wrestler. He's a guy that you could put at the top of the poster, you know, look around the indies and say, who's fucking with our champion? That, to me, is what the presence that title should have had for a long time now. And it's nothing really against Scotty or Devin, but to me, they didn't speak volumes as the flagship guy. They're guys who belong on the top part of the card, the main event, whatever you want to call it, but I think the guy who should be, you know, the title holder, the guy that's walking around like who's fucking with CZW, I think Masada's a pretty good guy to put in that role. So, and you could have him have defenses against Devin, who's had great matches against Masada and Scotty, and I have no problem with that whatsoever, but I'm really, really happy to see Masada with that title. So, and like
he's
I said earlier,
now.
Yeah, he's double champion. You know, he proved he can wrestle against a guy like Adam Cole earlier in the show, and I don't think anyone doubts that Masada could wrestle death matches. So, I mean, those two together, I mean, it's a great guy to have as champion. So, that was that. Then you had the main event, which was the aerial assault match. And, yeah, it sucked, man. It was like 8 guys in this match. I can't find the list. Well, the guys who won were the guys I wanted to win, and that was Samurai Del Sol and UHA Nation. So you would get 2 guys going into the best of the best. Unfortunately, it was an elimination match, and personally, I thought that was a bad idea. And when everything was said and done, I feel like I was right for thinking that. Because the way it went down, it was just weird. Because you had eliminations going on, and then when the final elimination happened, you just had UHA and Samurai Del Sol standing there, and it wasn't like a big finish. It was just like, okay, ring the bell. Now there's these guys. If they just did, you know, a bunch of spots throughout the match, 2 big falls, even, you know, a finish where both guys hit finishers, and they both got consecutive 3 counts, and then those 2 guys were standing as the winners. I think it would work. Everybody looked great in this match. You had Niles Young in there, who surprisingly looked really good. Latin Dragon looked great in the match. He has a pretty cool looking mask, new mask. And yeah, he did some really cool stuff in there with Samurai Del Sol. Ryan McBride was in the match. He looked good. Who else? Shane Strickland. This is a guy I haven't seen work before, and he's got a shitload of charisma and a lot of athletic ability. Definitely liked him. I definitely thought he did a great job with that. Who else was in this match? I know I'm missing somebody. For Christ's sakes. See, they don't even list the eliminations or something on CZW. Jesus Christ.
Oh, that's DJ for you. He's lazy.
Yeah, that sucks because I don't want to forget people. But honestly, everybody looked good in that match. So if I am forgetting somebody, I apologize. Oh, Lucky was in the match. Lucky 13. I think that's it, but again, I could be forgetting somebody, and I apologize for that because honestly, nobody fucked up in this match. The match came off really well. I liked it quite a bit. It's just, it was weird seeing, you know, the finish of the match happen, and then the crowd just sit there like, now what? And I knew that was it. There was no now what, there was no what's next. There was like, no, the match just ended, and it was just kind of awkward, and I think that was due to the fact that they did, you know, the fucking eliminations. So you just had a bunch of eliminations, and then, yeah. So that was that. Great show. I loved it. And it not the best venue. But anyway, so the best of the best 13, or best of the best 11, the 13 entrants are M.K. McKinnon, Adam Ooh. Cole, M.K. McKinnon, him and Trent Seven are from England, I believe. They're... Okay. I forget what they call themselves as a tag team. They had a horrible match against Philly's Most Wanted. And I think it was Night of Infamy. And from everything I've heard, even though that match was horrendous, that these guys are really, really talented wrestlers over there. I haven't seen a lot of their work, so I can't really speak, you know, and say, hey, I've seen all their stuff and they're terrible. That match happened to be bad, but I've seen a lot of good wrestlers have bad matches. So, I mean, best of the best, if we'll let the... you know, their own talent speak for themselves, come best of the best. So that's two of those guys. Then you got Alex Colon, who stepped it up tremendously in the past at least year and a half, just really, really stepped it up. AR Fox, Willie Mack from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and if you haven't seen this guy, he's fucking awesome. And that's a huge pickup to bring over. Chuck Taylor.
That's a good pick.
Of course, Sammy Callahan. Can't say enough about that guy. ACH, which this guy is fucking great. Unbelievable athletic ability. Fucking some of the shit he does. If you look up ACH versus AR Fox, you'll find a match that, they just tore the fuck up. And it was one of those, I think it's like Beyond Wrestling or something, where there's really no fans and it's just the wrestlers that are on the card. And, like, their family and shit, so you just see, like, a couple people hanging around. And it's kind of cool, but they don't do it. They do it more on DVD sales than they do, you know, for live crowd, because they really don't do a live crowd thing. So, kind of like an empty arena match.
Internet league, pretty much.
Yeah, and they have, you know, the rest of the locker room and family and stuff like that in there, but you could tell it's not, like, a crowd full of fans.
Yeah, no, I did it before.
Yeah. You got Johnny Gargano. You got Lince Dorado.
Never heard of that one.
You never heard of Lince?
I probably did. He's
worked Chikara a lot and stuff like that. He has like a cat mask.
Oh, now I know. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, there's him. There's UHA Nation. Samurai Del Sol just gained their entrance, and Drake Younger.
Nice. That's going to be a good one. No one from Japan or not like that was put in.
Yeah, but that's a tremendous amount of talent right there. I'm all good with it. I'm just fine with that. So, yeah, that's what's going on there.
Cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Where's it going to be at?
Voorhees, New Jersey, at the Flyer Skate Zone.
Holy fuck, I hope I'm off that day.
Yep.
I'm shooting over there.
Yeah, it'd be great to see you out there.
All right.
But yeah, on Friday, the Friday before the CZW show that just passed, they had a PWF show out in Rahway. I wanted to go to it, but wasn't able to get a ride or anything like that. There's, you know...
They have Papa Chango and all these other old cats there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Sid was supposed to be booked on the card to fight Matt Hardy.
What?
Sid was supposed to be on the card to wrestle Matt Hardy.
Fat Hardy?
Yeah, Matt Hardy. And,
Fat.
Yeah, sure. So, the co-owner comes out and informs the crowd that Sid decided not to board his flight and no-showed. Well, the guy decided to call Sid and leave a voicemail where the crowd screamed, fuck Sid, and fuck you, Sid, and all of that stuff, left a voicemail on Sid's, on his phone. So that's how they started the show. Then, you know, not only did he do that, but the guy also gave out Sid's personal phone number to the fans.
Oh.
He pretty much said that 5 hours after he was supposed to have boarded his flight, he, you know, sent a, called Sid and said, or Sid called and said, hey, Eric, man, I was at the deli buying a soda and somebody stole my wallet, so I have no ID. And this was 5 hours after he was already supposed to have boarded the plane. So, yeah.
How the hell did you steal this big-ass dude's ID? Like, really?
Yeah, it's a bunch of shit. So that's why I guess the guy went in. He, you know, went all out on him and everything else. Another thing that happened during the show was you had Balls Mahoney taking on Marty Jannetty.
Oh, my God. Do you see that?
Well, and apparently PWS's site and the popular thing to do is say that Balls threw up because of the chair shots that he received from Marty Jannetty, which is online, and if you watch these chair shots, they sure are not Nick Gage chair shots. They're not Balls Mahoney chair shots. And I, you know, not going to speculate what substance, but I would go ahead and blame it on a substance. And
I know what it
is. Oh, yeah?
Yep. It's the heroin. Fucking junkie.
Yeah, well, I'm not in this dude's fucking car or his gym bag, so I don't really know what he's got going on, but you can only speculate. And
that was hilarious, dude.
Immediately after the match, just projectile vomited, like just fucking cannon vomited, like, it was fucking ridiculous. It was like, they could have stuffed fucking t-shirts into this guy's mouth and fired him into the crowd the way he was fucking throwing up.
God,
like a
dude,
t-shirt
that was
cannon. And he just like, no, sorry. Fucking, holy shit. They needed like one of those Gallagher shields with the big plastic things you put over the first couple of rows.
Holy shit, I wanted to see. They should have played it in slow motion or something. Like, you got to see, like, it paused.
Oh, it was brutal, man. Fucking brutal.
Good God, I died. That made my day that day. I was like, holy shit, what a fucking idiot. He's out of shape.
Yeah, it was a pretty sad turn of events. But, yeah, there was that. There was a couple other things that happened. From what I heard, the rest of the show was pretty good. Necro wasn't able to make it for some reason, and he had some kind of health issue. I'm not really sure what it was. But, yeah, Masada ended up filling in for him. And,
the Sheik? Sheik was there.
Yeah, wrestled the Sheik. But not the Iron Sheik.
No, the new Sheik.
Yeah, and I had heard that he sucks bad.
Really? I heard mixed reviews about this guy. He can work somewhat, then he has a short temper, then some other shit. Like, oh, all right.
Yeah, I hadn't heard much good about him. Kevin Matthews beat Eddie Kingston. Sammy Callahan, I believe. Yeah, he retained his world title against Colt Cabana. He was later jumped by Kevin Matthews, Devin Moore, Amazing Red, and Jay Lethal. Jay Lethal was also the replacement for Sid, where Matt Hardy came out and was supposed to wrestle Sid. And Jay Lethal came out as Sid Lethal.
Wow.
Doing full Sid gimmick. He cut the promo where, Sid said, how about not being the smartest guy, and oh man, let me see if I could find it because I knew I had that on my soundboard at one point.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
Yo, did he step over try to step over the rope, Blacko?
I don't know. I didn't see it, but now this is the I have this clip of Sid's thing, but he cut pretty much this promo.
But you know, and I know that you are only half the man that I am.
Wow.
And I have half the brain that you do. But week after week, you tried to make me look like a jackass.
So yeah, he did that thing. So yeah, I mean they had some good stuff, and from what I heard too, who did Tony Nese wrestle? Where the fuck am I? Tony Nese defended his title against Alex Reynolds in what a lot of people were calling match of the night, and there was a lot of talent on that card. So I imagine they did a great job. You had Amazing Red won an elimination match against AR Fox, Samurai Del Sol, Brian XL, Gran Akuma, and Devin Moore. I could only imagine that match was fucking unbelievable. And
I like Amazing Red too, man.
Yeah. PWS's next show is May 4th in Raleigh, and I'm really going to try to go to this show. Because it's not on, like, a second Saturday type thing. It's nowhere near, like, a CZW show. Right there, right now, they don't have a May show lined up for the East Coast, which I don't know if they're going to or what the case is. But as of right now, there's nothing lined up for that. They're going to have guest commissioner Bret the Hitman Hart on hand.
I would like to meet that man, seriously.
Yeah, me too. They're going to have Sammy Callahan defending his title against Jay Lethal. They're going to have Matt Hardy up against Colt Cabana. They're going to have Jerry Lynn up against Marty Jannetty, which I thought they should have had Marty Jannetty versus Matt Hardy in a death pool slash shitty second tag team partner match. You know?
Aerial assault match.
Marty Jannetty versus Matt Hardy in a mugshot match. You know, just something. But anyway, first time ever Legends match. Demolition of Axe and Smash up against the dream team of Greg Valentine and Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Wait, they still around?
Who's that?
Greg the Hammer Valentine and
Brutus the Barber Beefcake? Yeah, sure.
Nah, that was my dad's favorite wrestler right there. Greg? Yeah, man. He loved him. Holy shit.
He took the longest to sell ever. Get hit with that shit, and he's standing there looking stunned, and then he eventually fall. Good stuff. You got a singles match, Dan Moff taking on the Amazing Red. You got the Young Bucks taking on Reality Check, and I believe that would leave because Reality Check, they got Amazing Red, they got Jay Lethal, Devin Moore, and I believe Danny D'Amano or Kevin Matthews. So I'm not really sure who they're putting in that. But anyway, it's Young Bucks versus Reality Check. Then you got women's action, Maria Kanellis.
Versus
and
Medusa.
Medusa. Maria Kanellis and Brittany Savage taking on Jillian Hall and Revy Sky. You got a four-corner match of Adam Cole versus Brian XL versus Samurai Del Sol versus Zema Ion. And then
Zema Ion's pretty cool.
Yeah. And they say plus more, including Balls Mahoney. So, yeah, wear your waterproof gear. Anybody in the front row might want to wear some rain gear.
Wait, that's what I don't get. I mean to cut you off, but I'm sorry. But
no, I understand.
Why would you book him again?
I don't know. And I can't imagine that these guys are actually convinced that, oh, yeah, the chair shots made him throw up. Like, dude, are you not fucking aware of what this guy's doing? Jesus fucking Christ. Yeah, it's just, seriously, dude. Like, he comes out to the fucking ring, and I would take a bathroom break. I would not sit in the fucking front row with the possibility of this fucking guy throwing up all over the place. You know? I just, fuck that, man. That shit is not cool.
I'm not sitting in the front row. I'll sit, like, maybe in the middle. No, it's bleachers,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, I'll sit in the bleachers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I always sit in the bleachers for Royal Race shows, and it's not generally by design. It's just, like, I just do. I don't go out of my way to get front row for that because it's a pain in the ass and you really got to get in early and all that. So just
yeah, no, believe me. I remember the old ECW days. I had to get there before everybody. Fucking get tickets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hot blonde chick.
Yeah. So well, I guess I can't not touch on this. So. Did want to touch on the whole rock concert that went on Monday. Did you get a chance to see that?
That was badass.
Yeah.
I love
well,
it. That was entertaining,
first,
honestly.
Yeah, I laughed my ass off. Well, first they did the John Cena thing, which, you know, they gave him 2 minutes, and it sounded like this.
Rock wanted me to write his song tonight, but I would never be his mouthpiece. Because Rock's like LeBron James. He took his talent straight down to South Beach. And for the past few weeks, Rock's been legitimately pissed. If you get stuck singing your song tonight, Rock, it's all in the wrist. Could we please have a week where you don't come out here and choke? You may be G.I. Joe this summer. Right now, you're a G.I. Joke. Ever since I opened my mouth about you, you've been begging me to back off. So if Rock and Dwayne are the same person, I think y'all both are jack-offs.
That was funny, though.
And after April 1st, you won't be making no more movies. You're going to need surgery on your face just like you had it on your boobies. A room full of divas. I got a gift for Rock tonight. I'm going to give him a Cleveland steamer. Team Bring It? His team lost it, and the truth is getting scary. Because they weren't chanting Rocky last week. They were chanting Tooth Fairy. Keep making fun of this Fruity Pebble Rock. Because I ain't even close to sick of it. I'm Mr. Kung Pao Chicken. You just Miami fried chicken.
Oh, that's
no, no, I don't have balls, but I got something in their place. I'm going to beat your ass at WrestleMania and put my nuts dead in your face.
Oh, that's not PG.
Yeah. See, and that's the other thing. See, now, honestly, a lot of people are saying, oh, Cena's corny as shit, Brent's saying in the chat, and, you know, people are, you know, knocking on it. But listen, what has Cena done for the past as many years since he's dropped the Thugication stuff, since he's dropped
the
Thug...
ain't wrong. That man got titles. He put himself on a map and shit, but I'm just saying, though, like...
But other than just being a fucking vanilla, hey, I support the troops. Hey, I hugged the cancer kid today. Hey, I did this. Hey, I did that,
I
buddy.
I with that. That's fine, but he's still a cornball.
Well, no, I mean, he's a good guy. You know, he goes out there. He does a lot of charitable stuff. He does a lot of stuff like that. That's not a good on-air personality as far as a wrestler goes. If you want to be that good guy behind the scenes and stuff like that, and hey, even make notice of what you're doing, and that's, I don't have a problem in the world with that. But as far as like being an actual babyface and, you know, in a business that the guys get over that are badasses, and you know, your Stone Colds are one of the biggest, you know, over guys in the world. You didn't see him having to kiss ass or do anything stupid.
He was one of the greatest heels ever.
But he was a face at the same time. Like, that's the thing that's weird, you know. I mean, it's hard to compare that. But, you know, even go with The Rock. The Rock has been nothing but corny lately, you know, with this Kung Pao Chicken shit. Like, he brought that out of fucking nowhere, and it had no relevance. It's just like baby talking to another grown man.
tickle you. Nah, I'd like to smack you with a Kung Pao chicken. Oh, yeah? What do you think about that? It's like, oh, come on, dude. That shit is corny. But the one thing I said a long time ago, and it might have been even close to a year ago when they started talking about this, they are letting The Rock break out of PG. And anybody involved with The Rock is allowed to do that too. And I think it's pretty interesting because you go from Cena saying, I'm going to give you a Cleveland steamer, to saying, I'm going to put my nuts in your face, you know, and shit like that. That is something that you couldn't even come near that shit with the PG stuff they've been doing. It makes me wonder how far they're going to let it go, how long they're going to let it go, and are we maybe breaking out of this PG thing a little bit?
Thank God.
You know? I mean, I would hope so, and everybody, you know, for the most part has been hoping so. But, I mean, let's be real. As far as the kids go, as far as all that stuff, I don't think they're any better off that you're not doing the Attitude Era type stuff. Like, did a
Dude,
whole block
was,
of kids.
That shit went hard, though, man. Sorry, the Attitude
Era
was the shit.
Yeah, did a whole flock of kids just completely go off the deep end off of that promo or off of The Rock's promo and stuff like that? It was comical. It dropped some things that, you know, clearly weren't PG. But, I don't know, man. And well,
that's even cooler. The thing is, they're trying to put him PG. He's not used to that shit. That's why he's fucking up everywhere. Honestly,
but this shit is scripted, and they know what they're doing, and they're allowing it to happen. So this
yeah,
one's broken to...
If you let remember Attitude Era Rock?
Huh?
The Attitude Era Rock?
Yeah.
That man can cut a fucking promo. Wasn't scripted.
Right.
If you, yeah,
well,
if you,
this stuff is scripted.
Yeah, I know. I can tell.
This is broken into two segments, The Rock thing. I'm going to play The Rock thing now. And I'll tell you the one thing that every time he said it, like, I would laugh my ass off at some of these lines, and then... He made the chorus to this shit, but we're dancing because Cleveland rocks. If this guy said something about the city he was in one more fucking time, I was going to kill myself. I was going to pull my old LeBron jersey out of the closet and burn it like the boys in Cleveland did when he fucking left and went to fucking Miami. Because I was mad as shit. I was just, I think I got an Indian's hat somewhere. I was going to set that bitch on fire. I was just... had enough, like, if you seriously, as The Rock, feel the need to say Cleveland this, Cleveland that, and I cut out all the pre-promo stuff he did, because it was probably like 20 minutes. These two clips combined are 7 minutes, but it's segmented, so it'll go like 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and then it'll go the other three, but, you know, we'll talk a little in between. But, yeah, I mean, it... Some funny fucking lines and everything like that, but I really didn't dig the amount of times that he had to get cheap heat or cheap pops just to say Cleveland, 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 Cleveland. You know, at first they chanted Rocky, and he's like, well, you really shouldn't chant for me. You should chant for Cleveland. And I just wanted to vomit on my fucking
gay as hell
screen. I was just like, seriously, dude? You should be cheering yourselves. Like, oh, kill yourself, you motherfucker.
Hold
so.
On. Before anything, before you start doing that, because I got to get off the phone soon, because I'm
okay.
tired as hell, I want to tell everybody that I am having my first kid.
Fantastic, man.
Yeah, I know, right?
Congratulations.
I know everybody in the chat was like, oh, my God, they're waiting. Don't say nothing, though. Please, for the love
yeah.
of God, do not post
don't,
nothing.
Yeah, don't throw no congrats on Juan's wall, nothing like that, real talk, because... You know, the wifey doesn't want it out yet. So if anything, throw him an IM, throw it in the chat room, anything like that. Wifey doesn't listen to Yakuza Kick. And, you know, personally, I think that's her bad because, you know, she should know what's up. I mean, you know, you're going to try to teach this kid right. I mean, we already messing up. So I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, huge congrats on Real
yeah,
Talk shit.
Yeah, my first kid. I mean, honestly, my first one.
Hell, yeah. And, yo, dude, you don't. Go gain no sympathy weight, dog. You're going to have to buy another car.
We have two cars, man. It's all right. I got one. She got one.
No, but I'm saying if you, you know, sometimes the men pack on that sympathy weight, don't do it, man. You can't get
oh,
no bigger.
Fuck. Dude, I know. That's fucked up.
Can't, the seat don't go back no further than where you got it, dog. Yeah, I mean.
Hold on, do you have something to
hard.
No, no, wait, I forgot. You're like 100 and something pounds. Yeah, you're skinny as
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, no, I gained backwards weight. You know what I mean? I got more cut up just to compensate. You know what I mean? Nah, dude. I'm not built for gaining weight. That's just, like, in my blood. It's not like I fucking, you know, I'm not, like, some kind of super fitness nut. It's just, honestly, I'd be a fucking slob if I didn't have it fucking bred into
that,
me. That,
is that DDP yoga?
Yeah, DDP yoga. Yeah, man. But that's what it is, man. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you, man. I appreciate it. Well, let me get off the phone.
You'll have a lot to look
listening.
Forward to.
I, oh, huh? God. I heard I'm going to lose a lot of sleep.
Yes, you will. Yes, you all will.
Right.
Well, yeah, all man.
Have a good night,
yeah,
baby.
Thanks for calling in, dude. And, yep, we'll be hearing for you.
All right, baby. Bye.
All right, homie. Peace. Yeah, so there's one. Like I said, don't post no shit on the thing. So anyway, here goes the Rocks joint. Here goes part one, and then we'll get into part two. And like I said, keep in mind that this is supposed to be the PG era. This is supposed to be where none of that stuff. And honestly, like I said, cracked my shit up, and then got me angry as fuck every time he said motherfucking Cleveland. So check it out.
It's gonna be good. Warren threw a party and he spent some bucks. Didn't invite Cena cause he totally sucks. Cena started rapping, it all went south. Know your role, jabroni, and shut your mouth. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Cena's got a menstrual clock, but we're dancing 'cause Cleveland rocks. Oh, what's going on? Here we go. Little Fruity Pebble from Newberry, Mass. Rock will take his boot and shove it up his ass. Bet you're all happy you're listening to me and not some goofy Eminem wannabe. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Ain't no balls down in Cena's jock, but we're dancing 'cause Cleveland rocks.
He's not even nearly done. I ain't getting there. But yeah, it is funny shit.
Y'all want to hear a true story? See, The Rock's got the inside scoop from John Cena's doctor. He visited a doctor last week. Kind of goes like this. Little Johnny Cena went to the doc. Rock punched his jaw and the pain wouldn't stop. Doc said, Cena, you know I'm a fan, but please stop begging for that rectal exam. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Cena closed up that smock, but we're dancing 'cause Cleveland rocks. You want to hear a little gossip? Rock's got some gossip. It's a true story about Cena and Eve. This is true. This is what happened. This is what you didn't see on Raw. But The Rock saw it. Rock saw Cena making out with Eve, grabbing on her thigh, tugging on her weave. Cena was having the time of his life. I guess he didn't tell her that he's got a wife. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Divorce lawyers right up the block. guess it slipped his mind while he was slipping of the tongue. I got a little ditty about the day John Cena was born. True story. These were all true stories.
All true stories.
April 23rd, 1977, the doctor shouted, send that baby back to heaven. Sorry, Mama Cena, but check these charts. Little baby Johnny's got lady parts. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Little Johnny's got them lady parts. But we're dancing cause Cleveland rocks.
Yeah. Okay, so that's part one. He's not even done. He's got like another 3.5 minutes that I'm going to play in a minute. But like I said, the PG shit straight went out the window. Like I was legit like sitting there waiting for him to go, well, Cena love sucking cock, but we're dancing because Cleveland rock. Like I was really waiting for a line like that because he really went in. First he's saying, you know, Cena's begging for a rectal exam. He's got no balls. He's fucking, he's been playing with the lady part thing for a while, but he's doing that. He's doing like all these different things that just makes him look like a complete bitch, and he's being pretty fucking open about it. So I was just like, wow, like this shit is going hard. Like, so I just kept thinking like, you know, what else rhymes with Cleveland rocks? And I'm like, he's going to say Cena's like sucking cock in a minute. I'm just waiting. Maybe they wait until he went off the air. I don't know. All right, so here goes the rest of it.
Thank you. Thank you. I told you we were going to have fun tonight. You know, just out of curiosity, are there any grown men here tonight? I mean grown men, real men. Hold on. No. No, I know there's grown men here. No. But are there any grown men who are John Cena fans? Wow. No one. Oh, wait, we got one. Okay, I see one. He's clapping. Rise above the hate. I'm sure there's a couple. Oh, there's one over there. Oh, there's another one. Okay. Okay, listen. I'm not gonna mess with you. It's hard enough being you, so I'm not gonna mess with you. Actually, let The Rock ask the people. Should I mess with these guys? Okay. Well, this song is especially for you and you and all the grown men who are John Cena fans out there. It goes like this. Doesn't really matter how hard you try. Never in your life will you ever taste pie. No, you love Chewbacca and Frodo too, but you're a walking virgin and you're 42. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock.
Great.
Dressed like Kirk and Spock, but we're dancing cause Cleveland rocks. That's for you. The ladies in the house tonight. See, you know, The Rock and the ladies, we got a very special connection. I love women. I love the ladies. But there's a very, very special lady that I want to sing a very special song to, and she's at home right now. She's watching. Very, very, very special. Very special woman, and this song, this special song is for you, baby. The Rock will see you tonight.
Rock's getting some wine and a dozen roses. She's going to meet my holy Moses. Getting with the Rock is the bomb. You don't believe me, ask Cena's mom. Let's rock. Everybody, let's rock. Cena's mom can barely walk, but we're dancing 'cause Cleveland rocks. Said one more time, Cena's mom can barely walk, and we're dancing 'cause Cleveland rocks.
Yeah. So, you know, The Rock, he's a tremendous fucking performer, and it was all written. I mean, he had a little tablet in front of him telling him, you know, everything that was going to go down. But, I mean, he went from fucking Cena's mom to, you know, calling the fans virgins that are fucking adults that actually like him. And it's just a really funny bit. Now, this was just a part of it. Before this, he did, like, his little stand-up routine where he more or less, he said, and that part was pretty funny, too. I'm definitely didn't clip anything else because 7 minutes of the fucking Rock talking, I think, is enough. But he said that more or less he put up a picture of Vanilla Ice, a Teletubby, and then equals John Cena. And he's like, more or less that fucking Vanilla Ice banged a Teletubby, and that's how John Cena became. And, you know, then he started saying things like Teletang. Like, he wanted some of that Teletang and all this, you know, just goofy Rock shit. Then after this, the entertaining part of that, he did, his version of We Will Rock You. And, you know, he had the lyrics going down on the Titantron, and he was supposed to just, you know, sing off of that with his own, you know, lyrics dissing Cena and stuff. And he botched the fucking shit out of that. Like, it was horribly timed. Like, he really fucking botched that. If he just stuck to the thing he did first, that would have been fine. And you know, it would have been a great closeout if he had, like, truly got all of that shit down. But in the same token, he fell apart on that last one. But either way, you know, entertaining Rock stuff. Rock used to do this type of stuff all the time on the fly. They obviously built up for this to do, you know, this big thing now. I don't know how much more you could say or do that's going to top it. I mean, he talked about fucking his mom. John Cena's begging for a dude to put something in his ass. Fucking, he ain't got no balls. I mean, seriously, like, there's not a lot of other things you could do, and it works. So, I don't know. But, yeah, that's that. What else do I got? Well, update on last week. ECWA ran their show on Saturday. From what I heard, a bunch of people contacted the owner of ECWA, and he claimed he didn't know anything about this dude being, you know, a sex offender. Well, everybody that listened to my show that looked it up found it in 30 seconds. This dude apparently didn't know and then was going to look into it, but yet Saturday came and went, and Jason Skinner still filmed Saturday's show. So, I'm pretty much not stopping until I see this dude not fucking filming. If he's in the Girls and Boys Club in April for ECWA Super 8, I'm going to go after, you know, more and more of this just because it's not right. I mean, there's fucking kids all over the place, and this guy was fucking doing something to a kid. Now, I understand, you do the math on the charge and all of that stuff, and he was 15 at the time. But the kid that he was involved with was between the ages of 1 and 11, and I don't give a fuck, man. I got kids. I am not down with that shit. Beyond me not liking that product, this motherfucker needs to not be working with anywhere where there's a bunch of kids in the building. You know, for a company that would call themselves a family-friendly company, this motherfucker's got to go, period. And I seen footage of him definitely filming on past Saturday. So I'm telling you, everybody bombard this fucking venue, call this venue, make sure that this guy's out of there. Now, if you go in there and you say, you know, hey, this guy, Jason Skinner, you know, he's doing their filming and stuff like that, and they check it out, and this guy's not doing their filming, then fine. He ain't doing their filming no more, I back off completely. I don't got a problem with it. I'm not a fan of their product, but they're more than
deserving of running their product and running their company any way they see fit. Any way that they want to run their product, whether it appeals to me or not, is their business. I don't dictate what goes on in the independent wrestling business. Not in the fucking slightest bit. All I do is comment on things that I like and I don't like, and that's it. And I move on. And it's nothing. I mean, these guys attacked me, so I attacked back. In the midst of that, I found out some shit, which is what I'm talking about, and it's some shit that I don't like. That's what makes it personal, because I got kids, and if they decide that this isn't even a big deal and he's just allowed to work around kids, then that's what I have a fucking problem with. So, again, I'm not backing off until I see some shit happen with this. I want this fucking guy gone. So, that's bottom fucking line. And I guarantee you I'll make a big fucking deal about it if I see him at one of these goddamn shows. He brought his fucking girlfriend's 2-year-old kid to Cage of Death. Well, I didn't know about any of this beforehand, but believe me, I'll make sure people in the building know about it. Do I see his face? So, you know, from enjoyment to working to all of that stuff, dude really needs to be a lot more careful about who he talks shit to online, because, you know, when you got a pass like that, you don't want to step on anybody's toes, because when that pass comes out, now all of a sudden you have issues. Now you have issues, period. That's the bottom line with me and this dude. And it's not just because he says some shit to me. You know, I would battle, you know, whatever he said towards me and that type of thing. However, that's really not that big of an issue to me. What I, you know, end up coming out, you know, I thank the people who supplied me with that information. But that's a serious thing. You run a business that surrounds, you know, kids, families, everything like that. You don't allow that type of thing in there to destroy the name of your company. You don't. So no matter how much of a good guy this guy might be to you, no matter how much he sucks the cock of your company, runs around and fucking screams that you're the best thing in the world, you got to cut him. You got to cut him loose. And again, this isn't me trying to dictate anything. It's being a straight-up dude about somebody who, you know, this fucking guy's a sex offender. You don't allow that shit. So that's all I got to say about that this week. Best of the best big shit coming up next month. Like I said, Randy Moss signing with the Niners. Big fan. PWS show coming up in May. I got a lot of stuff to get through there. Supposedly the WWE is considering Sami Callihan and Johnny Gargano. I don't know what, you know, how much credence there is to that. I don't know how close that is to happening or anything like that, but they did just sign Brody Lee, which you had mentioned when Greg was on, and I plan on bringing up, but yeah, tremendous. I mean, this guy just had his kid. He's well overdue for this. He's a guy who's actually the size that WWE likes to look at. And man, I just hope he tears it up in the WWE, as well as, you know, Cassius Ohno and Antonio Cesaro and Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins and all of these new names of guys that we've known on the indies for all these time. And I just hope that we continue to allow indie guys into the WWE and, you know, allow them to entertain the way that they do on the indies. It's not a biased opinion of people who like indie wrestling. It's a genuine love of wrestling that easily translates to TV wrestling for the people who enjoy the wrestling side of wrestling. Not just the full entertainment, but yeah, those guys can entertain as well as wrestle. And newsflash, wrestling is entertaining. This is why this shit became entertaining to begin with. So allow these guys to do what they do. It's good stuff. Well, I guess I'll give some plugs and I'll get out of here for tonight. And I'll definitely see you guys next week. I don't miss shows. That's for goddamn sure. Well, definitely one thing I want to put out there. Listen, I will be getting my T-shirts either tomorrow or Saturday. So big shout out to Yolanda Jernigan, who's she does gimmick wrestling tees, and she also runs the Shiznet. You can check that out. It's another blog talk thing on the Card Subject to Change Network. Check her out. Just super cool people, and I get my shirts. The sooner you get your shirts, anyone I don't have the addresses to or I lose it or whatever, as soon as I have shirts in my hands, I will be figuring out how to get them to you, and I will be shipping them out to you guys who have done so much to support me. I thank you guys so much, and this will be my, you know, one form of thanking all of you. So that's why there will be no charge or anything like that to, you know, my listeners and guys, you know, guys and girls who have supported me from day one. And I thank you. And it's, you know, obviously a promotional tool for everybody to be running around with Yakuza shirts on. But in the same token, it's also an appreciation to, you know, everybody, because I'm eating the cost of this, and it's fully well worth it for everybody who enjoy it. And, you know, hope you like your shirts when you get them. You'll hear about that all over the weekend, I'm very sure of it. That's that. I like to shout out Soup, Wrestling Soup. They do their shows tonight too. I just plug wrestling shows that, you know, that go on the same night as me, because I'm an egomaniac. So I give everybody competition to watch or listen to, I should say. I'm so all about myself. Yolanda comes on before me, and the Soup comes on while I'm on. Hey, you want to go listen to them, you could do so. But if you want to stick with me, I appreciate that. And I tell you, you got to go, got to check them out on the archive. So that way, you know, whether you're listening to my show on the archive or whether you're listening to those guys on the archive, Wrestling Soup, they're tremendous. The Shiznit, very unique, very different program. You get something different with all three of these shows, and that's what's up. You'll never see the same thing out of any of us, and big, big shout-out to all of them. So I think that's about all I got. I think that's all I got. So, hey, check me out next week. I'm not even going to say us. I'm going to just say check me out next week. I will definitely be back Thursday. I'll let you guys know if I got any other earlier in the weekdays, but probably, you know, just a Thursday, John. Check you motherfuckers out next week. I'm J.K. Mars. Peace.
All right, ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, depending on what this soundbite is meant for, Yakuza Kick Fucking Radio, hosted by Jay and Eric. Eric is the quiet one who I thought was off the phone for a long time, and but then he popped back in like he's the Andy Sumner, it's a hot tag, and he popped in with amazing force and jackhammered the fuck out of me with his three questions. So tune in next time, because fucking yeah, Yakuza Kick Radio, something.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio. And we're taking over. And we're taking over. And we're taking over.